Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Halloween, October 31st, 2022. I have to mark the show. We have done 10 years of this, so I have to mark the date. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. We are global. We're heard worldwide. I want to thank Canada for being a supportive audience, as well as Ireland, as well as Tokyo, India, Switzerland, Italy, and, of course, us. Germany's in there, too. Welcome to the show. You heard the news. It's all around. You know what's really disturbing? I'm going to get right to it. The headline. Here we go. Title of show. Sometimes it is what it is. Sometimes it is what it is. Where is Nancy? Sometimes it is what it is. I mean, you guys didn't really, it's funny. And when I mean funny, I'm talking funny strange. When we tried to have the coup and they were going through and searching for Mike Pence, let's hang Mike Pence. And another chant was, Nancy, come out. Like some kind of horror film. You Republicans said, it was a typical tourist day in D.C. Tourists get out of control. No big deal. Human beings tend to forget shit, man. You forget how big that mob was. Thousands of people. Angry people. You forget how, in the beginning, the crowd was small and Trump didn't like it. So he says, open the gates, let everybody in. And then they said, Secret Service says, sir, some of these people have weapons. And Trump said, I don't care. They're not coming to hurt me. Let them in so we can see how big the crowd size is. That happened. President of the United States, I don't care. Let them in. They're not trying to hurt me. Thousands of people. Thousands. They even put up a gallows to hang Mike Pence in public. They shit on the walls. How dirty can a human being get to wipe his shit on the walls? Yelling, where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? But we forget. This isn't new. But there's some questions I need to know. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, I know people who live in bad neighborhoods and they get the ring thing on their door. They got some kind of alarm. They got even bars at their window. These are folks with not that much money. And you mean to tell me that you are a senator? Now, you're the speaker, which is second in line to being the president of the United States after the vice president. And you don't even have a freaking alarm? You don't have a freaking alarm on your house that somebody could break? You don't even have a puppy? Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, sometimes I just have to, after the attempt coup, and you knew there's people coming for you, you know you have death threats. You don't even have a Ring doorbell? I mean, sometimes, and then you have to blame shit. I mean, come on, I'm not cynical. I mean, this is a bad thing, but it pisses me off when things could be avoided for other people's safety. And I don't know if you're lazy. I don't know if you live in another world. I don't know if you think you live in such a great neighborhood that it cannot possibly happen to you. But you're the frickin' Speaker of the House, man. Don't you even have a door alarm? Get a Chihuahua, at least, that somebody can break in your home. And you know he wasn't a good guy. You know this guy was not trained to take hostages or whatever. I haven't read the story, but you know it's not. Because of one story I'm hearing is that the husband excused himself to go to the bathroom, and that's when he called 911. You mean to tell me you don't even have a gun? It's your Second Amendment. You're getting all these threats, and I just don't understand. I don't understand if you're one of these people that God will protect us. Understand. It makes no sense to me. Good morning, beautiful lady.
Good morning. How are you?
It's Melissa. I'm good, kiddo. Hi. I'm good. I'm just trying to figure things out. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Ah, good.
Happy Halloween.
Hey, a scary, scary boo-boo to you, boo.
Uh-huh.
How you doing? I'll call you boo.
Uh-huh.
How you doing, boo?
This is the only year
you're
going to
be
able
to boo. Huh?
When somebody in my neighborhood had a loudspeaker, and they were blasting Thriller. And I was like, I heard it. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you heard the beginning of my rant or not.
No, but I can imagine it was Nancy Pelosi-based.
I just don't understand, and it's an honest question. I don't understand how a person can survive, ran for her life a year ago, people looking for her. We're talking about the coup. Wanting and put up a gallows that they wanted to get Mike Pence. You're getting death threats, and you're telling me that you don't even have an alarm at your house? You don't even have a ring alarm?
I think they have like a huge amount of babe. I thought somebody was saying there was a lot of security. They have a lot of security.
Well, if there is, they should fire their ass. The guy got to a window.
Absolutely. He had to have brain surgery, remember? Did you hear that?
No, I heard that he did fracture his skull.
Yeah.
So he might
have
brain surgery. I could imagine some bleeding. They're afraid of stroke and bleeding, especially his age.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of hard, too. And bear with me, because Melissa knows what's about to come. And I'm not inappropriate. Inappropriate? Is that a good sentence? Because I have to look at the side that people are not looking at. What 42-year-old man cannot take down an 80-something man?
Yeah.
I guess they were looking
for her, right? He was yelling.
Right.
Nancy? I've heard that part. I've heard something about a hammer.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, this guy I listened to, the one I sent you that link, is a David Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really anti-Trump, but boy, he doesn't like them either, the Pelosi's.
Mm-hmm.
His take was pretty interesting on it.
Okay.
So,
sounds good. I'll hear it a little
bit. Worth like $300 million?
That's about right. For how long she's been in some stocks trading. I'm sure she got some inside information. She wrote a couple of books, I believe. I mean, that's about right. It's about right.
He was kind of seething over them.
I wrote on the headline, it is what it is. Sometimes it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, I'm going to read the story now. And
okay.
This guy does not sound like he's the typical, I've done this before kind of guy. I'm a professional kind of guy. I'm 42 and I can't take down an 80-something-year-old man. I have to hit him over the head with a hat. You know, he's an 80-something.
Bottom line, what are you thinking?
I think sometimes it is what it is. There's a lot of conspiracy theories going on, and I'm going to play both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Fox is talking about. I'm going to play it, what Fox is talking about.
Yeah.
And I listen to, I like Morning Joe. That's my guy. I listen to her.
Yeah.
But Mika, Morning Joe is Joe, oh, my God. Well, anyway, Joe and Mika in the morning. You guys know who they are. But Mika said something really disturbing. She was talking about this on and on and on, and then she says, well, the other side is so silent, and Trump hasn't said anything, and that pissed me off. Why do we give a fuck what Trump says? Who cares?
Please.
As soon as she said it, it's like, what? Who? Well, you know, this is this, and the other side are not saying anything. Why do we care what the other side has to say? Meaning that they're causing this. Let me just tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first time. To me, this is a botched job. Okay, you can hate me for what I'm going to say, but Ronald Reagan was shot.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King was shot. John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, political leaders, even – come on. It's not the first time that this happened. And I don't think everybody who shot these leaders are professional hitmen, or if they belong to a hit group. Sometimes it is what it is. I don't believe it's a conspiracy. I do not believe that they've been radicalized. I'm hearing on the left, I'm going into this guy. I'll get in deeper with him. That he was MAGA. Okay, and that he belonged to some right-wing group. Hey, last thing I heard, see, this is what I'm thinking what's wrong with the Democrats and why they're pussies. I really do. Fine. There's some politicians on the other side that belongs to some political groups. Maybe they're the, what do you call them, the duck gays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some politician who belongs to the, what is it, the GYBE or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Come on. Is that a radical group? I mean, they're radicalizing, some of our council people. So if the group is not against the law, who gives a fuck? And just because they're MAGA, just because they like Trump doesn't mean that they're radicalized. I mean, this is where we're putting too much power on this guy.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who like Trump that are not radicalized, even though when they come into this room, you can't tell. They seem like they are radicalized.
I know, right?
What they do. They really do.
Yeah. That's
they
normal
really
behavior,
do.
Right?
That behavior.
You know what they need? They need a narcissistic therapist.
Oh, wait till you – I thought about – wait till you hear that. You know, and that's another story, and I'll go ahead. Thank you. Title, sometimes it is what it is.
Yeah.
Where's Nancy? And then a narcissistic psychotherapist.
It's a little over the top. Some of the behavior is a little over the top.
Well, but I'm a firm believer of an individual – should be accountable for themselves.
Absolutely.
I don't believe somebody, some major, because you don't like the dude. Well, let's talk about the elephant that's in the room. If you don't like Trump or the MAGA people, I don't even like where they should put, group them. But you're going to say that you're going to call Trump a terror organization. Okay, then say it. If you're not, you can't tiptoe saying that they've been radicalized by the MAGA Trump. Trumpers, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I have, see, I have, the way that Mika, again, Morning Joe,
yeah,
said it to the side of her mouth or innuendo of,
yeah,
well, if you look at his past, he's been listening to Trump and he belongs to right-wing mm-hmm. groups and he's been radicalized. It's
right.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, this is how it's a lot of people, I don't know, that's how a lot of people feel, you know? That some of the behavior, you have to admit, is a little over the top.
Well, we can go with the talking dog with David Berkowitz. Now is that breed?
So many conspiracies behind
that,
too.
Is that breed? I wonder what the breed of that dog is, because I don't want him to be talking to me and I go burn down my neighbor's house. What the fuck is going on with that dog?
Yeah.
Son of Sam.
Yeah. That's another one you talked about this the other day. You talked about this the other day, though. That was the time, I won't side-reel you or derail you, of the devil made me do it.
Okay.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll give
that
you that.
The time. Yeah.
But I don't even know if we
and
should bring even the devil
demonic.
Saying. Yeah, but even the devil saying that's some fucked up shit. I mean, I'm not going with puppies.
Uh-huh.
I love puppies. You know, you can't blame
mm-hmm.
that on the devil. And whatever happened to the dog? I wonder, whatever happened to that poor dog?
You
Who's going to adopt that dog?
Recently,
yeah.
He shot the dog, too, you know. So he shot it.
Did he really?
It lived. Very long life. Yeah.
If he shot the dog and the dog lived, that dog was possessed. I don't know.
It belonged to some old guy. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a black lab.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Those are nice dogs.
Those are beautiful dogs. I always
very
imagined
nice
it was
dog.
One of those pug bulldogs. That's what I imagined it was. I didn't know it was
a black lab. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I have one that's part black lab, and he's really sweet.
Oh, they're beautiful.
He's
they're
like
smart,
the nicest
too.
One out of everybody. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The intruder who broke into the Pelosi home and asked, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" He had a bag of zip ties. This is what the report says. Here's the story.
Here's
the story. You know what I got to do when I say here's the story. You know what I got to do. Where's my sound effect, right? Do I have it still? God, it's been so long. I used to be right on my sound effects. It just, wait a minute, here it is right here. Is this it? Box him up. Box him up. Box him up. My bad.
Wow.
Here we go. This is the story. This is a true story. This is what happened. How can a 42-year-old man not take down an 82-year-old man climb through a window of the speaker of the house and there's no alarm set off? Somebody said there's security. Where the fuck were they? This is a true story. It happened in California. The city of angels. No, that's Los Angeles. This was in Northern California. The city of fruits and flies. Gay. That's gay. Nevertheless, it's a story.
What is this music from? Don't say
The music is from Law and Order.
What?
You ever watch Law and Order?
Law and Order. I don't watch those shows.
Oh, I love it. Here we go.
Yeah, that I recognize.
Okay.
That I recognize.
All right, here's the story. Did I finish the whole thing? And then sometimes it is what it is. Where is Nancy and a narcissistic psychotherapist? And if you're not familiar with a narcissistic psychotherapist is, if you ever went to a therapist, and imagine going to a therapist. I'm going to go to a doctor today who's going to tell me things. I never met the doctor. Never met me. But what he says is so important. So I'm just saying that there are some therapists who are fucked up.
Huh.
And because they are. They're fucked up.
Oh,
they're
I
more
know.
Fucked up than you are. It was, I tell you a friend about my friend John, who was, me and him used to play tennis together, and we were both working in a handicap with the kids in the university that we worked with the, what do we call them? Okay, well, forget it. Disabled students. We worked in the Disabled Student Center, and he was studying to get his master's or whatever, his PhD for being a psychiatrist or whatever. And I asked him, why did you want to do that? He goes, because I have a lot of problems and I could get free help. And he said, psychiatrists and psychologists are more fucked up than – yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Testing? Okay.
You're
can you
here.
Hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
But his answers were that he was fucked up and that he can get free help. Psychiatrists and psychotherapists are just as fucked up as we are, if not more. We tend to go into areas that we have in common with, right, Melissa? If I like cooking, I tend to go into being a cook or a chef. If I'm an artist, I tend to go into an area where I can draw and be creative. If I'm a male dancer with a big schlong, I tend to go there and do my entertainment every Friday night at the Male Review.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Your responses are too funny for me. You know what? You crack me up.
Mm. What?
Just your responses.
Yeah.
The show closed in one day. It was a bad review.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to see that show. It
was
a cold night. It wasn't our fault. It was very cold that night.
Yeah. It was cold.
It was cold. Uh-huh. It was wicked cold that night in our opening night.
It was cold. There's nothing to see here.
There's nothing to see here. Just some bad dancing.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Pervert.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see my full montage. Okay. Get sidetracked. This show's not off the air yet. Where were we? So, sometimes just because somebody says to a therapist, and we had this talk, do one person, one therapist, just because they went to school, do they know everybody? Do they know what is normal? What is normal anymore? We don't even know what is normal. Normal is a kid that says, you know what, I'm not a boy. I want to be a girl. And all of a sudden that's normal now. Did they study that?
Yeah.
Did they study trends? Did they study economics, neighborhood, how you grew up? Maybe they said, well, that was abuse that you got a spanking when you were 8. Now, a therapist could say, that's abuse. You got to spank it at 8. Go, what? When I was a kid in Georgia, they made us get a switch off a tree, and they hit us with a switch off a tree. What? A lot of therapists will say that's abuse.
Mm. Maybe it's considered that now.
Right.
You know.
But if you went to a therapist back in the 60s or 70s, they said, well, you got a whooping. Okay. Now if you go to a therapist saying that's child abuse. So what is it? So what I'm trying to say is, narcissistic psychotherapists, they mercilessly prey on people. They're preyers.
I have another – I want to say something.
Yes.
No matter where I go, no matter how many videos I watch, blah, 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 the word narcissist is so common to use now.
Isn't it?
If you don't like
Isn't
somebody,
it?
You're a narcissist.
Right.
I hear it at least every other day.
It's the new N-word.
It is.
It's the new N-word. But I am proud to...
I'm telling you, it is so out there.
I know, kiddo.
I think that we all have, like, we can all have traits of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so overused. I hear it constantly.
I own up to it. You know what I think, how I got into a narcissistic personality? Sports. Ever since you were a child, when you get into sports, you have to be the best. Losing is not acceptable. A bad day is not acceptable.
That's not okay when you don't hurt. I guess when they say somebody is a toxic narcissist,
right,
they're hurting people.
Yeah.
with their, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
I don't know. I don't. It's a
no,
whole
I do.
Different
I do.
Ballgame.
Well, in this story, well, you know, it's funny. The medical profession is such a mystery. I wanted to do that story, and it's coming up. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah.
You're allowing me to tell people what's coming up, and you set me up for it. I appreciate it.
Maybe Nancy Pelosi is a narcissist. I don't fucking know.
Of course.
They say everybody
all
is
those,
now.
All those lawmakers. Can you imagine? Wait a minute. Can you imagine? And you're getting millions of people voting for you, thinking that you're the best, you're top of the heap, you're the best. You cannot have a little bit of not. What are you going to say? Nah, I don't deserve this. Nah. Oh, come on. No, of course you have to be a narcissist saying, vote for me and I set you free. Rap on,
yeah.
Brother. Rap on.
Yeah.
I will make sure
yeah.
that abortion is this, and I will make sure your laws are this. I am your lawmaker. Of course there's jobs that has narcissism in it. I mean, look at, would you call Elon Musk a narcissist?
I don't know that much about him.
Oh,
to
my
really
God.
Say that.
Yeah, the idiot bought Twitter, and he typed some kind of... And he had to delete his own tweet, and he owns a freaking company. What kind of passive aggressive nutcase is that?
Yeah.
I just bought the company.
Yeah.
I said something, you know, because I wanted to shock the world. Sometimes people shock jock whatever. Sometimes there are people out there who just want to just cause conversation. They may not believe it. Half the shit I don't believe what I say on here. Three quarters of the shit. Okay, a quarter of the shit. With 75% I do. But I'm just saying, sometimes he's a businessman, and he's going to say something to bring attention to himself that brings in the news, and the stupid news will report a stupid tweet that he deleted. This is how bad the news is, right? This is how bad they hate this motherfucker. And he could, you know, I would do the same thing. Okay, Twitter, people are leaving Twitter, blah, 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 because you don't like who I am.
Yeah.
I understand. I tweet something. I know every news agency is going to pick this up. And then I'm going to delete it later. Then they're going to pick that up again. You know how much it is? That is, you know how much money he just saved in advertising? Billions of dollars. That's smart marketing right there. That is, now everybody's going to say, what is he tweeting? What is going on? What's going on? That is marketing, my friends. This is why he's a billionaire.
I don't care for Twitter. I don't use Twitter. I don't care for it.
Well, it's just, how do you think Kim Kardashian got to be Kim Kardashian and a billionaire?
Yeah.
It's marketing,
but I don't
my
like
friend.
TikTok either. I don't like it.
Yeah. I gotta admit, I looked at it a couple of times, and then I found myself, you know, 30 minutes later, what the fuck am I doing? It's like
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Like Jillian likes it. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know.
Well, I gotta connect her to my TikTok. I think she'll enjoy my little antics.
Oh, she loves TikTok.
Jillian loves
me. I
don't
like it.
I think
she used to love me.
She used to. She's on the fence now.
Jill falls in love with everybody. Oh.
Well, thank you very much. I thought I was special. Thank you. We solved that mystery.
Don't feel special there.
I know. Don't feel special, you.
No.
Well, here's the story before we lose everybody. But, our next story is that narcissistic psychotherapists mercilessly prey on these people. They get money out of those who are desperate. Narcissistic psychotherapists can lead clients to feel confused and worthless and cause psychological harm. How would you like, I just say to you, I say, hey, Melissa, and then you say, hey, Brian. I said, hey, Melissa. You say, hey, Brian. And then I said, you know, Melissa, you may have a problem, but I have a solution. What's the solution? Your problem could be anything. You know, I don't know that your Amazon fashion accessories did not come when you wanted them to, a day late, so you're pissed. Whatever. And I said, you may have an anger problem here, whatever the cost is, right? But you're going to go to this person for the rest of your life because they're not going to fix your problem. You're going to be hooked like a catfish. And every month, one day out of the month, or one week out of the month, you're going to keep going and going and going until 30 years. And when are you going to wise up like, hey, you didn't fix my problem 1 week, and I got to keep going and going and going? Because basically I'm telling you about life and not a problem. So if I'm with a psychotherapist, psychologist, and it's like this is a long-term fix for the rest of my life, I'm out. What's the difference between that and a little cult? I mean, a cult could just be you and a therapist. I never believed. I went to one. He set me up. I swear to God, hand to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. High five. I went to one, and it was a Catholic one. It was a Catholic one. I was younger. I was like, you know, 19. I couldn't afford a $100 an hour one. So they said, well, I have a Catholic. It was a Catholic counselor or clergy. He was good. It was $5 a week. I could pay that. I was working. I was a busboy. And it was bogus. But there are people who are still going. There are people who 5 years in. 5 years in. And here's what they do. There are some not, and you don't know these people. You have, they won't even let you know them. Next time you go to a psychiatrist, I come, hey, how are you doing? See the reaction they have. How's the children? How's the husband? Oh, you're divorced. I'm sorry. Let's talk about you. One session I'm going to give to you. Free reign. I just want to get to know you. No, you're not going to get to know who these people are. They're not going to let you know who they are. They're dark skeletons are still living and they're hanging up in a closet and they talk to them when you leave. Here it is. They prey on people. They get money out of you. They get money out of the desperate. The narcissistic psychotherapist can lead clients to feel confused and worthless and cause psychological harm. The first thing, an oath on the doctor, the first thing is cause no harm. We're going to talk about that. And there's many of you, and you know, it's even funny, in Beverly Hills, it's a thing where if your kid is 10 years old and hasn't seen a therapist, you're not into the thing. You're not part of Beverly Hills. They got therapists for kids. Melissa Strangeby, quiet, I want to ask her, Melissa, how do you feel about that? Therapists for children.
No. It's
all 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
The people in the upper echelon think that their kids, you know, get them into therapy or, you know, get, you know, what did they used to call it? Oh, my God.
The bottom.
Analysis or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Cute little word. A cute little word. I mean, we're going to get into that. And how do you know you're with a good one? How do you know you're not with a crazy? I had a therapist, my problem, you know how I like to go on my personal story, whatever subject I have. And I had women problems. I had women problems at 19. I'll tell you what my cirrhosis was. And if any, is it called a cirrhosis?
That's
or neurosis?
Not cirrhosis.
Is it a neurosis?
What
a
neurosis.
Hey, look at my skin blotch. Look at my skin blotch I have on my knee. That's my cirrhosis. I can show you
cirrhosis.
Right there.
My cirrhosis. Come on.
Wasn't that a song? My cirrhosis. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun, dun.
Right. My cirrhosis.
I have a cirrhosis on my knee. But mine
That's
was
like
about
cirrhosis of the liver. You,
hey, my liver is fine. Yeah, I got a cirrhosis. What is a cirrhosis anyway? Is it a...
It's usually what people that are alcoholics get.
Yeah,
cirrhosis of the liver.
I can never be an alcoholic. I don't like the taste. I don't like the taste.
Yeah.
I never like the taste of alcohol. Maybe rum on a hot...
I don't.
Maybe,
beer is disgusting.
I hate beer.
I hate hard liquor.
Right. Tequila, I can... If I'm on vacation, I could take a little dash of tequila and have the fruity drinks. You know what I mean?
A margarita.
Or daiquiri. It's mixed with fruit. You can see the light taste and rum when you're in Hawaii and the pineapple.
Some people people were trick-or-treating last night. Some parents with beers in their hands and stuff.
Are you
serious? Like, oh, yeah.
Do you live in a trailer park?
It's big around here. You get all walks of life.
With a redneck
and they had beers and they were smoking cigarettes and
oh come on
yelling,
trick or treat, go up to the house, kid.
It's all walks of life. I had people come by that said, it was a group of adults dressed up with maybe a couple of toddlers in a carriage. And I said, would you like some candy, trick or treat? And they're like, we don't want to let the kid out of the carriage. I'm like, what? Okay. Have a good night. And they just kept walking.
Wow.
It was a strange night. Behavior was really different. Jill said there were people smoking and blowing it in kids' faces coming up to the door.
No.
She said a dad said to his kid, you shut the hell up or I'm throwing all your candy to the street. Swear to God.
Well, the pandemic is over.
Crazy people. Yeah.
I know, right? Can't we do virtual trick-or-treating and have your houses and show you my candy? Wow.
Yeah.
This is the second Halloween after the pandemic, right? Or is this the first Halloween?
People were a little sketchy. I think it seemed like the first. Last year they were sketch. Year before, mega sketch.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People had these shoots they made to drop candy out.
This
year was the year of drugs. People worried about fentanyl and candy.
Oh, yeah.
That was the big thing.
Well, we did that story.
That was the big thing. But you know what?
Yeah.
I know somebody that said to me, no half-decent drug addict would share their goods with children or anybody.
Wow.
That's
not true. I've heard that story, too. I've heard that even when I was a kid. No, when I was a kid, it was
it was razor blade.
It was the razor blade and the apple and LSD. LSD when I was a kid. You know, be careful, and kids are tripping and everything. I remember that. Excuse me, sweetheart. You know, today my co-host is Miss Melissa. Is my co-host. She's my co-host for today.
Let me go in the other room. They're being loud.
Treat her right. 111, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. 111, you're live on the air with Melissa and Brian in the morning.
On the Halloween show.
I know. You know who this is.
I don't want to talk to you.
You call the show, and that's the first
thing
you say.
I know who this is. I don't want to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to you. I'm calling the show, but I don't want to talk to you.
Mr. Solution, did you call up to discuss your cirrhosis or your neurosis?
Oh,
hey, Brian, I love it. You need to get someone. Hi, Melissa. I told you that you need to get someone else. You're too inconsistent, Brian.
Hey, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because something new is happening here in the show.
Oh, surprise me.
I will. There, I just clicked you out and hung up on your ass. Surprise! No, I'm only kidding.
Hey, you're one faithful listener, and look what you do.
I'm one faithful listener. Which is true.
One.
So, you know, what I'm going to do now is I got some guests lined up, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to have, instead of them just being a guest, I'm going to seek out people. I'm going to give them the option to co-host with me for the day.
Wait a minute. That won't help things is that going to motivate you to come in more often?
Well, of course. When I have an interview, of course. I have never missed an interview. Of course. But I'm going to also give them the option to, and I have my eye on Melissa. Melissa's doing great. And Laverne. I'm going to have a chance that you're going to be my co-host for the day. How's that?
That's not happening.
You are. Well, I forgot. You're not a co-host. You take over my show. I'm your co-host, right? I see what's going on here, Mr. Solution. All right. Now, here's what's going on. So, anyway, we're going to talk about narcissistic psychotherapists, and you think that you're going into a therapist and they never met you before. You have no idea who they are. One day, if you are seeing a therapist and you've been seeing them for a while, ask them about their life. Hey, how are you doing? They're not going to tell you.
No, that's not true. I do that.
You do what?
What you just said.
What
I mean,
did
I go to a, I've gone to several therapists.
I believe that.
I do that as part of an annual, well, not
crazy.
Quite annual, but
you crazy
maybe,
fuck.
No, that, okay, see, that's where a lot of people get it misconstrued, because like you get a physical checkup, it's good to get a mental checkup, too. Because
not many people think that way.
I realize how crazy I and everyone else is. The crazy people don't.
You know what?
I am
I'm so proud that what he said, and he said it so eloquently. I really like what he said, and it's true. I agree with him. Not that he's the person, but how crazy and different people think. I mean, especially in today's society, what is up, what is down, what is down, what is up, what is sideways, what is this, and what do we have to accept to be part of society? It is confusing. It's changing all the damn time. You don't know what to do. A lot of people are on medication, and you just don't know what end is up or who to believe anymore. That takes us to our story, the transition.
I was on a show last night. One of the best sources, I would say, is the Bible. I would defend that vehemently against anything, and just let them read it. That's the only thing. But anyway, they were talking about they were reading out of Proverbs and other books, but mainly Proverbs, and they were talking about how a kind answer turneth away wrath, a soft answer that is, and so on and so forth. And that just got me to thinking. I'm going, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I said, And I quoted them a scripture in, I believe it's Isaiah 1:18. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Now, that's a very powerful statement. And what that tells you is just what it says, you're screwed up. God is saying, we need to reason this out. You're screwed up. I'm the one with the knowledge to help you. But you've got to be willing to listen. But see, so many people today are snowflakes, and you can't tell them if they're headed in the wrong direction. You can't give them guidance, as it were. So I said, you know, context is everything. And the context is that one is at least willing to listen to truth and not take offense at it. And so I always want someone to give it to me straight. I don't want it sugar-coated, you know, and that's the way I am. I mean, you know, I'm the type of person who if I know what's going on, I'm going to tell it to you like it is, as they say. I'm not going to be politically correct or any of that hocus-pocus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it to you
straight.
Good
movie, by the way. That's nice, nice, nice promotion.
I agree with this. Okay, PC stuff is strange. But I'm a person, Mr. Solution and Brian, that I think it's all about the delivery of how you speak to somebody about the truth.
Interesting.
Well,
interesting.
I say that. Oh, go ahead. Had you concluded?
No, what do you think of that? It's all about the delivery. And how you speak to somebody.
So you're saying about tone?
Well,
Melissa,
yes, you
it's
have
all
to
about
be careful
tone.
With that. I was looking at the word
Melissa,
tact.
I was just trying to get it straight. Wait, Melissa, are you thinking the tone? It's all about tone and
how it's said.
And how it's said. Well, since Mr. Solution, I agree with you, Melissa, but Mr. Solution.
Words are really, really, really important in how they're used.
And they could, and you could weaponize
them. Well, you have to be, that's true, but one has to be, and I believe in some diplomacy, but sometimes in order to get it, you know, driven through, I have to say, okay, you know, I don't mean this disrespectfully, and then I go ahead.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, but hold on. With some people, I have discovered they use that as a battering ram to escape any accountability. Some people don't want to hear the truth no matter how it's delivered. It can be coming from heaven. No, they don't want it. So, I mean, we have to look at it from that angle, too. But as a general premise, I'm in agreement. But if you're speaking to snowflakes and people who are hypersensitive, what the hell do you do?
Well,
there's no win-win with them.
Well, when we create groups to make it okay to be hypersensitive, protect those who can't protect themselves, criminalize the bully, we are a hypersensitive society. And we are a scared society. We're in fear every day of something. We live in fear, even fear of the Lord, if you want to go there. And you quoted a verse in the Bible. I want to quote one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Matthew 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, "Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And that verse means be accountable for what you do. And we don't hold people accountable anymore. We don't. We come up with excuses for people, or we criminalize them, or this cancel society that should not even be there. These terms that are made up that we have embellished should not be there. It should be ridiculous.
The irony is, guess where they initiate from? The schools, the educational institutions.
Which are supposed
to be open to all manner of thinking and ideas. That when I was at university, I mean, it was wonderful. I enjoyed it a whole bunch. But,
did you really?
That was a little bit before a lot of this crapola took off.
I did not.
It wasn't, because I went to graduate school, so it was firmly in
time. I did not enjoy university. It was so much pressure, man. It was live or die. It was so much pressure at university. You know, you get these TV shows that they're going to be like, you know, Animal House and drinking, and you go. They do have those houses, but they're not for everyone. To me, university was very lonely, even though I had associates. It was hard work, and it's not. And you would agree with me, Melissa, and you agree with me, Mr. Solution. University is not for everyone. We make it like if you don't go to a university, you are a failure. We in our society, what? You're not going to higher learning? We have this thing that, you go to a university, you must be a higher learner. You must be. Have you ever heard any of these professional football players talk after they went to Penn State or university? "Hi, my name is James. I play football." I mean,
I can weigh in on that just a little bit. Much of that starts at home. See, the home is the primary and foundational learning institution. So I've watched people too, and I've gotten into these debates because, you know, they always come at me, or not always, but a lot, almost always, about vocabulary. And my point has always been, if you're a student, if your son or daughter attends college or university and then returns speaking the same way they did, you need to ask for a refund. You see, because the university.
That's the college fault. It's not the college fault. Wait a minute. See, you're going into the cancel culture here. They're providing you an education. It's up to you to take advantage of that. And if you fail to take advantage, they're not there to babysit you like high school or junior high.
That's kind of a joke.
But some people actually think that, though. No, it was a good joke.
Let me finish.
It was a good joke, but I'm saying some people take that literally, that, you know, my son comes out the same stupid ass as he went in, and I spent all that money because he didn't go to classes and he slept through classes and he didn't attend, you know. So some people will blame the university for not teaching my son what they're supposed to teach, or pull him out of school, and it's because their son is just an asshole and they don't want to admit
I don't know that, but see, speech is an interesting thing, and it starts in the home. It may actually start in the womb, because if I I know how to create a genius.
Oh, God.
You know, with classical music. One can speak to the child, the developing child in the womb. And it's a good thing to do that. So vocabulary and the parents are primarily, as I said a moment ago, responsible for their child's education. The schools are just extensions of that. But parents have to do that. They have to speak to their children correctly, encourage reading. That's very important. Reading is fundamental. You've heard that. And so vocabulary is very, and one other thing, just one, a thesaurus.
Yeah.
That word thesaurus means treasure. But it's a book of synonyms, antonyms, and homonyms.
Brian,
but the word
itself,
thesaurus means treasure.
My co-host had something
Brian,
to say. Wait, hold on, Mr. Solution.
What
co-host Melissa.
What language is that derived from, that word?
What's thesaurus?
You know, I normally do that. I check
it.
That's called the etymology, the history
it's
of
Latin.
The origin of a word.
That's a short word, Latin, but he'll go on.
Okay, I'll tell you. It's probably Latin or Greek. It's
Greek.
One
Thank
of
you.
The other.
Greek.
Thank you. It's Greek, yeah. Latin or Greek.
You
okay, now we're going.
Person is absolutely right.
About?
I had a very well-educated family. I didn't go to college, but I was spoken to and like an adult pretty much.
Sure.
And I read a lot. I was encouraged to read. I was read to.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge thing because it opens up your world.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that has
it does. And except with women, most women, I'm able to get whatever I want just by speaking to people. Because people... I'm not kidding you, Brian. I was at the dealership the other day, and I'm not just talking about petty things either, although no money is petty. And I was speaking at the dealership, and I got a really good deal. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. However, we did enter negotiations. Because I got this shock bill. I'm like, what? And so I went to work on it, speaking to the right people. That's important, too.
Yeah.
And I got a copacetic, acceptable bill.
Well, you know what? You're right. And, Melissa, you're right, too. But you know what? You're right, because my thing is my charm. I'm going to tell you. You told a story. I'm going to tell a story. We had the grandkids, little cute grandkids. I would put my grandkids up to any other grandkids, and they're beautiful people. Even if they're ugly, I would still love them a little bit. That's how I am. I'm so shallow. Okay. But we're taking them to the water park. Now, online, it says $50 per person. Children, now when they use children, you got to be really careful because nowadays they're going children's like 2 and under. But my day, children used to be 12 and under. But they had 11 and under. They would get in for $35. It's just, those are the prices. Okay, we'll do it. It's 110 California. Take the kids to the water park. They're melting. Melting kids are no good. We get to the park, and we get to the thing, and the lady, I go, you know, two children, well, that would be $375 just to go to a water park, by the way. $375. We went online and blah, blah, blah. They go, oh, swear to God, this is what she said. Oh, that's our online costs. But when you come to the window, this is our admission costs. Swear to God. My girlfriend says, let's go ahead and pay it. You know, kids are melting, blah, 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 melting kids. I go, wait a minute. No. This is like what they call a fugazi, you know, a switch, a bait and switch bullshit. My girlfriend's adamant. She's tired. She's hot. And when a woman is tired, hot, and irritable, and frustrated, you run away. You don't even attempt to compromise with her. It would be hell to pay. So she says, honey, go ahead and pay for it. And I go, okay, I'll pay for it. She goes, oh. So you're going to pay for it, and that'll be another 10. You want a towel? That'll be another $15. Blah, blah, blah. You know, $340 came up to almost $400 for a freaking water park. I'm not kidding. All day. And I said no. Kids are upset, a little crying. My girlfriend's giving me the side eye. And I said, come here. And then we went to the site. She goes, honey, let's just pay for this. Just go. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have a shakedown. I won't do it. She goes, honey, I go, let me do my work. This is what I do. She goes, no, this is what I do. No, don't do it. Hey, this is what I do. I go back to the window. And I say, hey, look, man, I got some kids from Alaska, and they're melting here. You know, I got this and this and this. Look at you. You seem like a nice girl. And this is what you're saying with the words, right? I go, look at that smile. Look at, give us the online price. She looked at me. She goes, oh, okay, just for you. I go, yeah, be, you know, make you feel better, helping somebody out. And you're right. She gave us the online price. So you're right. It's how, and Melissa, you're right. It's the tone and how you present yourself and how you say things to people. Because generally people want to help. They have this thing in them, in their heart, people. Just generally, people do want to help people, but sometimes they have a bad day. You can get out of a ticket, a speeding ticket, depends on the kind of day a cop is having. Am I correct? So you're right. You're right. I agree with you. So there you go, Mr.
Right. It happens to be from the Latin, but it's also derived from the Greek. But, you know, English, I'll say this. English is the most powerful extant language spoken worldwide.
The powerful
language. I mean,
it's
the most powerful language worldwide.
Yeah,
it is the international aviation,
demonic little
international
prick.
Commercial aviation
what
language.
What
and
that
it's also the international business language. All business people that all people who do business internationally speak English. All people, and a lot of them are educated in America, by the way.
You go to Mexico
Ivory.
And there's business people and they don't know a lick of Spanish. I understand. Yeah, English.
No,
is
that's not
language.
True. Tom Likas used to quote, in Mexico they would have an advertisement that says, speaking English equals money. That's out of Mexico.
Well,
if you're
in the corporate and business world, you're absolutely right.
Hold on one second.
You got two minutes, and then I got to get to the story. Go.
No, it won't take 2 minutes. And like I say, the international.
All right, time's up.
Whatever.
Thank you.
All pilots speak English. All international commercial pilots speak English.
Okay.
So English is actually analogous to what they call New Testament Koine Greek.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful language, extremely powerful when understood. One can say English in the fewest words and be more concise than any other languages. A lot of languages are what you call romantic languages, but English is more of a scientific and a mathematical language. And
that's
I've
true.
Debated that with people who speak Spanish, and they have agreed.
Okay.
And if you look at any Spanish compared to English, it takes roughly 20% more words to say the same thing in Spanish as it does.
Right.
Although Spanish is a beautiful language, it's a romantic language. Go ahead.
I was just wondering if I was a woman and on a date with you when I would go in the bathroom and put a gun to my head and pull my brains out.
You do have
all
a feminine mentality.
I would pull my brains out. Melissa, can you handle Mr. Solution on a date? Come on, seriously.
It's not a matter of handling, Brian. It's all about what the subject matter is, what one
all
is
right.
doing. So we're talking
right.
about something, so this is relevant to
I hope I have enough
topic.
Bullets just in case I miss.
Well, as big as your head is, you should be.
All right, I'm going to get to this story. All right, here we go, our main story, because people are listening. Sometimes it is what it is. Where is Nancy?
I'm the hero in that story, by the way.
Are you really? I wouldn't doubt it. Are you the only one in this story? Probably. It's just one character, you. Everybody else is just, it don't matter. All right, listen, here we go. Let's get to the serious side. Here we go. Here's the headline.
Yeah, right.
The intruder who broke into Pelosi's home and asked, where is Nancy? He had a bag of zip ties. That's what the report said. The suspect who broke into Nancy Pelosi's home and attacked her husband brought zip ties with him. That's what, according to CNN. The subject, David DePape, or DePape, D-E-P-A-P-E. Of course, I did not hear it. They'll probably pronounce it right. He attempted to tie up Paul Pelosi and later told police he was waiting for Nancy. See, here's where I'm getting a little discrepancy. Help me out. Mr. Pelosi is 80-something and the suspect is 42 and you're attempted to a tie. You can't even tie up an 80-something old man. You're 40 freaking 2 years old. This is what is going on here. I don't want to be cynical, but I'm telling you, if an 80-something-year-old man stepped up to me and, and tried to tie me up, trust me, his little arthritis couldn't even pick up the tie. He would get his ass kicked. The threats against Speaker Pelosi are similar to the ones made by January 16th rioters who told her to come out and play. And that was from the Warrior movie. Warriors come out and play. So it was a stupid, childish thing.
That's a stupid movie.
Yeah. The suspect who broke into the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's home and demanded to know where she was, you know, he brought zip ties with him. The suspect is a 42-year-old guy named David DePape. P-A-P-E, the Pappy or the Pap, whatever you want to say it. He broke into Pelosi's San Francisco's home in early hours of Friday morning and shouted, where's Nancy? How did he know where her home was? I don't know, maybe.
Wait, let me say this. I think Google and those other assholes, they committed treason invading everybody's privacy. Now, the answer to your question is Supreme Court justice that guy tracked down. And also, if you remember, about a year ago, there was a judge on the East Coast. Her son was shot and her husband was shot because they have everybody's information online.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have everybody's title online. That's where this title theft comes from. So I think Google and those other jackasses who publish people's information like that are responsible. But I'm just waiting and watching and see if anything happens to the people, you know, that are considered higher up, if they can get this changed. But that's where that – you can find out anybody's –
Well, the argument – the argument on that, and I agree with you. No, I agree with you 100%, Mr. Solution. I totally agree with you. About 3 years ago,
I just think that is so horrible.
It is. 3 years ago, I was threatened, and I didn't think anything of it. And then a dude started sending me pictures from Google search, and of my place, you know, where I am. My car was in the driveway, the person outside, the picture. It shows the picture outside of my neighbor outside. You know what I mean? It had to Google pictures. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah,
but then you have to argue it's public. If you throw something in a trash can and you put it for the trash man to pick up, they had this thing with the paparazzis digging into trash cans and getting information, personal information, and then went to court. But the argument is it's public domain once it's outside. So
but I don't think those two align what you just said.
They might be.
No one has ever done that deliberately. I mean,
but they haven't gone inside your house.
The,
to it's just public street. It's a public street. It's a public street.
No, no, no. Well, okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But collating,
okay,
putting all of that together, yes.
Yeah.
It's a public,
yeah,
street. Anyone is free to traverse,
right,
that street. True enough.
Is,
however,
your address, I say to you, Mr. Solution, is your address public or private? Your address of your building where you live or your house or your home, is your address public or is it private?
Okay, it is private. Because
no,
unless you give it to someone, it remains private. And if you don't give it to anyone, unless you disclose it, which
it's
people
the public
aren't
domain,
doing that, they're collecting that information and making it available. And oftentimes they're collecting it from sources that, and our government is part of this. I've heard that some DMVs and some governmental organizations actually sell people's information. So that's wrong. In my opinion, I think that's wrong, and I think they should be held accountable.
Well, you brought up a situation that we have talked about with the communication companies, when your iPhone or your Android phone that you have, and I asked you a question. Is that your phone or the communication people's phone? And it's not your phone. You're renting your phone. The communication company owns that phone. They can do anything they want. In fact, if the government wanted to access your private conversation,
do you mean they own the phone
that you have? Yeah, the phone that you have is owned by the.
Mm-hmm.
If you got your phone from Verizon or T-Mobile, whatever, they own that phone.
That's not true.
That is true.
Okay, maybe you need to
bifurcate
and differentiate.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
I own my phone, and I can throw it away. I can do whatever I want, but I only use it for special purposes anyway.
Let me tell you the context. But Melissa wants to say something. Let me tell you the context before you jump on me. If the government wanted the information on your phone,
mm-hmm,
your communication company does not have to give it to them, but the communication, your communication, the main people who are doing this is Verizon is doing it. They will make a deal, and you have to pay for that. Verizon will say, the government will say, I want information on Brian's phone. And,
but they
Verizon
have to get a search warrant.
No.
They have to have probable cause.
No. Seriously, you should look this up, because I was shocked. We did a show on this about two or three years ago. The communication has the right to sell your information, and they will sell it. They will not give it, but they will sell you the information on that phone. So you
don't know if you're accurate about that. I know Facebook does.
You should really look it up. You should really look up, because
Facebook,
you really don't,
has been caught selling people's information.
That's a total
now,
different thing. Facebook
about
is not a communication company. We're talking about Verizon. We're talking about T-Mobile, AT&T. We're talking about the communication companies who own that phone.
Okay,
they
the
own
only
it.
Way that the law enforcement can get your information is that they issue a subpoena. They have to have probable cause. They have to get a written permission from a judge. If you are alleged to have been involved in a crime, they can't just get your information.
No, they can't.
There's
some kind of law, and I forgot what act it was. I forgot what Communication Act
or whatever.
But
see, you don't know.
I forgot what it is. I know the context of what I'm talking about. Yes, Melissa, you mentioned something. Go ahead.
If you finance the phone, then it doesn't belong to you. You know, if you're making payments on it, I'll be right back.
Okay, kiddo.
Right, but that's what right, but that's understood there. But like a phone that I have mm-hmm. like a a cell phone. Well, all of them are cell phones now, actually.
Right.
Nevertheless, and I just use it for special purposes.
Right.
If I'm doing business or something like that, I don't even keep it with me all the time. Because I don't believe in being tied down to a damn phone.
Right.
And so, you know, but that is my phone. I paid for that phone, lock, stock, and barrel.
But your communication company can give out the information. And you said warrant. But I forgot what communication law it was that says, no, they don't have to, even if they came to you with a warrant. They don't have to divulge that information. I don't know if it was a Privacy Act or something. I'll pull it up. But we did.
Well, if you issue a warrant, no. They can search your house if they have a warrant and they suspect you of an alleged crime. They have good cause. So they can search your house, which goes beyond your phone.
It oversees it. I'll tell you the law. I will find it, and we could debate on it.
Okay, all right.
I'll be honest with you. You got good reason what you're saying, and it's logical. And I can't really debate that unless I have that information in front of me.
I can argue from this vantage point. Echelon, which is the government, does listen in to all communications. Like, for example, on this phone right now, if you say certain words, they will pick those up, the computer will pick them up, and then they'll analyze them. And, like, if you make a threat against a high official or something like that, we'll just leave it at that. But other than that, it's not supposed to really be connected to the person. The only way is if there's a threat, there's a viable threat, well, then they look into it.
Okay.
But other than that, they're not supposed to be spying on people. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I'm a constitutionalist.
Right. Ever since they had to, you know what I'm saying, ever since 9/11, and we issued
the Patriot Act. I like
Patriot
the flag,
Act.
But the Constitution is better.
Right. It's a gray area. But let's just say that you're not going to win against the government. Nobody has ever won against the government. You're not going to win.
Oh, that's not true. First of all, what you just said is not true. That's absolutely
false. Who won against
false.
The government? Give me a case. Give me a case that they won against.
You can look up many cases, that the government has lost.
I would love to hear that. I would do it in the next break.
All the time.
I'll look it up the next break. But, we did have a conversation about public. Is your address at home a public or private? I argue it's public. It is
wrongly.
Wait a minute, just listen. I got the answer.
You have the answer? Go ahead.
Yeah, if you are registered to vote, your home address is public, and there's very little you can do about it. That's the point. Right to know frequent, that's according to Simon Campbell, who's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He makes whenever someone expresses shock that he believes the address of public employees should be public records, testing the boundaries. So there you go. And there's, at least in Pennsylvania, it says if you register to vote, your home address is, and that makes a lot of sense. You're giving permission. That makes a lot of sense. Even when you stop, when they ask you anything, even when you fill out an application, you are giving permission that says, this is my address and is now public. I never thought of it that way.
Again, I think you need to differentiate. A lot of times when people give their information, it's supposed to be used in confidence. It's not supposed to be made public as you are announcing. Okay, even if you do give your information, go back and read the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment. But I'm talking about things like Google and many of these other people do. They search court records and so on and so forth. That's why, like, they seal the records of a juvenile, They seal the records. There is a record, but they seal it so that no one can peer into it. So there is supposed to be the presumption of privacy.
Well, you see, when you bring things up, I have to explain. You brought up the Fourth Amendment. Everybody knows about the First Amendment. Everybody knows about the Second Amendment. The Fourth Amendment. My audience is pretty smart.
They don't. I'm not kidding. They don't.
Okay.
Some people know about it. But go on.
Okay.
Continue.
But the Fourth Amendment, I have to explain to the audience. The Fourth Amendment, it gives the right to a person to be secure in their house, their documents, their letters,
effects.
They should be protected, and they should not be violated. That's what it.
Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. When the Constitution is what is only next to the Bible. I put the U.S. Constitution next to the Bible in terms of importance. And a lot of the Constitution grew out of the Bible. Now, when they drafted the Constitution and presented it to the people who were smarter then, said, no, we don't want it diffused. We want it spelled out with specificity. And so that's where you got the Bill of Rights, because the politicians argue, well, you already have those. That's our but we want it spelled out specifically, and that's where you get those rights. Now, those rights are to protect people from the government, because remember the context in which that was wrought. It was wrought after, the Revolutionary War, right? And so they wanted specific rights, which is unique in human history. That's why they call the American experience a unique experience in American history, because prior to America, just the regular average person never had these kind of rights. These rights were only relegated to the intelligentsia, the elite. You know, kings and queens and monarchs and so on and so forth. But for the general little man, the peasants, to have these kind of rights, this was unheard of. So that's why they wanted them protected. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, we're going back to the story. So he was in the home. He broke into Nancy Pelosi's and her husband's home in early hours. CNN previously reported that the attacker tried to tie up Paul Pelosi until Nancy got home. And when the police arrived on the scene, he told them he was waiting for Nancy. All right, that tells you right there that this guy is not quite there. You broke into the house. You're sitting there. You let the guy go to the bathroom so you can call 911. And see, here's my question. I have a gun. I just recently purchased a gun. I recently started.
Do you know which end you fire it?
No, that's lesson one. I haven't gone there. I skipped class that day.
I don't want you to shoot yourself, Brian. You heard of this police officer. I read about a police officer, but that happened.
Oh yeah, I heard of. How did that happen? No, we want to talk to that story. That man must have been playing with that gun because you're holstering that gun. How in the hell can you?
No, wait a minute.
Yourself?
I can give you another one. Hold on. I mean, this happens rather frequently. One officer. This was a suited officer, a plain clothes officer. He was dancing. Break dancing, and his weapon fell out and fired and hit someone in the thigh.
Yeah.
Now, he, of course, was relieved of his position.
Right.
But, I mean, it happens in training. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
I recall hearing about it, you know,
yeah,
over time,
I did
but
too.
Go on.
But it doesn't. It's careless. It's carelessness and foolishness that causes accidents. You're in a car. We're going to get to that story because I still can't figure out how did this guy parked on the side of the road shoot himself unless he was playing with that gun, unless he was bored. If that gun is holstered and you're sitting on the side of the road, ain't nothing's going to happen to you. But for you to shoot yourself, you had to pull that gun out of the holster. And I don't know what the hell you were doing with it. He did die. And he must have shot himself in stomach or lower intestines or something to
committed suicide.
You think so? Why would they?
That's the only thing that really makes sense to me.
I don't know. Then why would they say an accident? I don't know. We'll talk about that.
Okay, I'll tell you, to get the insurance.
I was thinking the same way, so his family could get the insurance. I was thinking the same thing. You're right, because if you do commit suicide, you do not collect the money and pass go. Going back to the story. So here's what I can't figure out. I don't know when Melissa's coming back. But here's the problem. So this 42-year-old guy, he tried to tie up Paul, but he couldn't. The police came in. Now, Paul went into the bathroom, and he called 911. He kept the phone open in 911. If he can go and travel to the bathroom, why didn't he go into the other place to get a baseball bat, get something? If he had a gun in the house, why couldn't he go? I don't understand. The reason I got a gun is because I was threatened. If Nancy's going from the coup and they're coming after her and she's getting all these death threats, you mean to tell me they don't even have a gun in the house? This, all of this does not make sense to me. And then you go, I had to go to the bathroom. Sure, go to the bathroom. And I'm sure the house is like two or three stories high. It's a huge house.
And he is a thief, but I guess that doesn't play a role in this conversation.
It doesn't. And then when he comes from the bathroom, he just comes back
inside
out.
Inside of trading, but go on.
Yeah, I know that. Well, Nancy's been part of it. All those guys in Congress and Senate are inside trading.
Oh,
you know that.
That is so horrible.
No,
continue.
It's not horrible. It's a perk. Come on now. You got your lobbyists.
No,
insider trading
is supposed to be illegal.
It is illegal, but sometimes when you're at work, you get a little perk. Come on. You work at McDonald's, you get a free hamburger for lunch once in a while. You work at
same
a good
thing,
place,
Brian,
you get...
Not the, well, it shouldn't be, but they allow it. No, that's if certain people work on that committee, they can get and oversee the financial goings-on, they can use that information and actually
come on, you know
capitalize
that,
on it.
You know that's part of the perks of being in Congress.
It's
in
not
minute.
Part of the perks, Brian.
You
stop saying
it's one of those wink, wink, nod, nod kind of thing, and it goes on. What I mean is it goes on, and you know it goes on. There's a lot of stuff goes on. You don't think
well, I know
perks?
It goes on, but what I'm saying is that's wrong. It's wrong. But look, go on with your story.
Most of these people, Congress and Senate, are thieves. You know that. Come on. All right. I mean,
they wrote a paper one time, and they had all of these. They listed all of these crimes, and then they say, "Who do you think committed these?"
Exactly. Exactly.
And it happens to our elected representatives. But no, Paul Pelosi, he's a feisty old guy. He was just involved in a DUI. You can read about it, and
I know.
He survived
I know.
That. He tore up his I think he was driving a Porsche.
Right.
And you have to have special training to drive a Porsche, especially fast. You just can't drive it like a regular vehicle.
Well, we're not
going
to criminalize the guy because he likes to drive his car fast, and he has a little beer once in a while. But let's stick to the story. We're not going to
beer,
go
right? DUI.
Yeah, a little bit of beer.
I think they like the vodka.
The vodka.
I think he doesn't drink beer. That's a little bit too right. I agree with that.
Well,
yeah, he goes straight to the point. He doesn't, you know, dilly dally.
He gets the heart. You know what my favorite drink is? Every time I go out, I order it. Scotch and Seven. I'm a Scotch drinker.
I'm a
Scotch and Seven. I love it. Love it.
Well, you need to pull out that Frank Sinatra, The End of Year. When you start drinking that, yes, pull out that Frank Sinatra.
All right, let's get on with this story. I got to finish this story. All right. A lot of it doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense to me. If you're allowed to go to the bathroom, you got this huge house. What are you doing?
Well, let me interject, Brian, just to help you.
Yeah.
First of all, the guy
yeah,
who
help.
Did it, did not that happen in San Francisco?
Yes. What are you saying,
okay? Number one, you don't have the sharpest knives in the drawer or the brightest bulbs on the tree.
Jesus.
All the real smart people have left there. You can get an app for poop on the sidewalk in San Francisco. It's really changed. And so you're dealing with a guy who's probably drugged out, and it's a good thing he didn't kill the guy, but you're not dealing with the brightest type. That says a lot.
Okay. I agree. I 100% agree with that type of personality. How could he get inside the Speaker of the House? Anyway, let's read a little further. So the guy comes in. He's asking, where is Nancy, okay? He tried to tie up Paul, who's Nancy's husband. He said, I'm going to tie you up until Nancy gets home. And when the police arrived on the scene, he told them he was waiting for Nancy. This tells you that this guy is not the brightest in the world. Oh, you're just waiting for Nancy? We're going to let you go, sir. Thank you for letting us know. False alarm. We're going to go home. Really? Dude? Really? You're not going to run? You're not going to get the fuck out? Okay. If I wrote this in a movie, you guys would have walked out in opening credits. It's stupid. Here we go.
Well, he hit him with the hammer, from what the article said.
He
hit Paul with the hammer,
the
intruder.
He did. Let me see. The police said they observed DePap, strike. He observed him strike Pelosi in the head with a hammer. The police said they observed this. They seen him strike Pelosi in the head with a hammer. Excuse me, officer. It says here, police said they observed DePapi strike Pelosi in the head. How else can you not read that they didn't see this happen? They saw it in front of them.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
I think
happen?
That may be a...
That's what the police, it's in the report. The police said they observed.
Yeah, but that's the report of the report, isn't it? That's not the police report.
I could only go from what I read. The police said they observed DePapi strike Pelosi in the head with a hammer, at which point they arrested him. The police were right there.
That's an article citing what allegedly happened, right?
I could only read what I'm reading.
No, I'm just asking you. That's not a copy of the police report that you're reading.
No, this is an article this is from the Insider.
Okay, it's an article. So they got it wrong. I read articles all the time. They get it wrong.
They didn't get it wrong.
They spelled it. Go ahead.
Why do you say they got it wrong? Why is it always a conspiracy? Sometimes it is what it is.
I don't think they saw him because Pelosi called the police. He had to call
You're
them.
Not listening.
Well,
the police
ahead,
can't.
On,
Pelosi
Brian.
Was not there. The police
right.
arrived. When the police arrived, the guy said, I'm waiting for Nancy. At which point they were questioning him. Paul came into the room, and the guy hit him over the head with a hammer.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what it is. He said, excuse me, officer, I'm waiting for Nancy. Oh, here comes Paul. Excuse me. And hit him over the head with a hammer. Thank you.
Now, the police are there, and they allowed the assailant to attack the guy further?
I don't think they allowed him. You know, I think he did it really quickly. This doesn't make sense to me.
It's kind of close if they're there and they allow it. I mean, come on. The first thing they're supposed to do is restrain the people.
Well, sir, put down the hammer.
Are these Keystone cops?
They're San Francisco cops. But the thing about it is, you say, sir, put down the hammer. Why are you letting this guy hold a hammer?
First thing, I took some law enforcement training, right? And the first thing you want to do is stabilize the environment. And so you let the guy that you're interviewing keep the hammer. I mean, come on. That doesn't even make sense.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of holes in this. It doesn't make sense. You've got a police report. You got 911 saying, get over there. We have an intruder. You're at the Speaker of the House home. There's a guy holding a hammer saying, I'm waiting for Nancy. And you're just going to talk to the dude and not tell him to drop the hammer? And Paul comes out and goes,
like
the officer, and he hits him over the head? Huh?
Brian, if you were a police officer, I don't know how you got into the academy. But anyway, that sounds like something that you would do.
What? Let the suspect, he just has a hammer. Why don't we sit down and talk about it?
That's no threat. Just let the suspect have the hammer. You know, he's an intruder. But everything is, hunky-dory.
I would have shot him. What I would have done, I mean, people have been shot for less. Let's just be honest. People have been shot for less. People have been shot by a guy putting his hand in his pocket and a cop blew his brains out saying that I thought he was reaching for a weapon. Let's just be honest. If you got a 911 call that somebody broke in a house. He needs help. There's an intruder at the speaker of the house home, knowing that she's getting all these death threats about what happened later, I mean earlier with the coup, and you come in and you're on the scene and you see a guy with a hammer and he said he's waiting for Nancy. That's like having a Chucky doll
thing. Well,
you
don't just shoot the person, Brian. First
you,
of all,
I was,
like
he
I
has
said,
a,
I don't see
a
how
weapon.
The hell
he
you got
the,
into any
he broke
academy.
Into
academy.
A home.
Even theoretically.
People have been killed for less. People have been shot
but
for less.
But that's not the point. That's not
that
the point.
He has
police
a daily
officers,
weapon.
They're supposed to stabilize the environment and exercise, you know, control. Well, the first thing they should have done was relieve the assailant or the suspect of the weapon, and they didn't do that, according to the article.
But see, that's what doesn't make sense. They have
I got
people.
It. Go, move
okay,
on.
Okay, I'm gonna read on. I agree with you, but it doesn't make sense to me. Okay, here we go. They go on to say. Nancy made her statement, but I lost the police that they observed. He has since been charged with attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, and burglary, according to CNN. But the cops were there, and the cops witnessed the man hitting Paul over the head with a hammer, at which point that's when they arrested him. Oh, well, now we got to arrest you, sir. You just – the man has a, you know, a claw hammer in the back of his head. I think that's cause for arrest. It doesn't make no
not
sense.
Not to mention
okay.
that you're in this person's home uninvited.
Right, right. Pelosi was taken to the hospital where he underwent surgery for skull fracture. He is expected to make a full recovery. In a statement on Saturday, Speaker Pelosi said Paul's condition continues to improve. You're 80-something years old and you got a skull fracture? This is not good. There should be some hemorrhaging. I mean, you would have to watch this guy for a while. And he's almost close to a stroke. I wonder why he didn't stroke or have bleeding
yeah, well,
in the brain.
I think they will. But I'm concerned now. I'm wondering about Nancy. I know she's gotten a lot of plastic surgery. And so I bet she has a hot stud or two back there in Washington. Now, she probably pays.
Stop it.
She probably pays them. You know Nancy is.
What are you?
Nancy is not on the up and up.
Stop
Nancy
it.
Nancy is Jezebel squared.
Stop it. Stop it. Behave yourself. This isn't about Nancy. She has a hot stub. The pool boy. Carlo, the pool boy. Stop it.
Look,
Melissa,
I have had that notion for a long time.
Let me
I
tell
guess
you
she
something.
Calls herself the female Italian stallion.
How did you get that? Why can't she just be a nice, decent person who's a speaker? Just because of but the Democrats and how she's an outspoken woman, you're calling her a Jezebel, a bitch, and she's whoring around in the Congress?
No. Not what? Just a Jezebel. I said Jezebel squared.
Oh, so that's Jezebel times two to the second degree. Is that what you're saying? When you say
squared,
you're saying
– Brian?
Are you saying the second degree, or are you saying the fourth degree, or the third degree, Jezebel?
I said squared.
You better stop it. Stop it, fake news. Why can't she just be a nice person? And she's a Speaker of the House, and she's an independent woman, an educated woman, but she has to be a whore?
Then Nancy is a fundraiser. That's how she made her claim to fame. She's able to get a lot of contributions.
Yeah.
She's able to raise a lot of money.
Yes. And?
Not and, period.
What does that have to do?
What is Fox News' take on this?
I'm going to give it to you. I'm almost finished. Here we go. And, okay, so it goes, Pelosi, he was taken to hospital. Where he underwent surgery for skull fracture. He expected to make a full recovery. In a statement on Saturday, Speaker Pelosi and Paul's condition continues to improve. Yesterday morning, a violent man broke into our family home, demanded to confront me, and brutally attacked my husband, Paul. Our children, our grandchildren, and I are heartbroken and traumatized by the life-threatening attack on our pop. That's what the speaker said. threats against Speaker Pelosi are similar to the same ones. Now, here's where it gets political. And the title of the show is Sometimes It Is What It Is. Now we're going to get political, right? Here we go. Threats against Speaker Pelosi are similar to those same ones made by those who attacked the Capitol January 6th, some of whom brought zip ties that day. Some rioters broke off the House Speaker's sign outside of Pelosi's office, and another stole her podium. Others called out, "Nancy, come out and play." We cannot have a crime without it getting political. Some Republican lawmakers have denounced the attack, including former Vice President Mike Pence, who said this man should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. See, here's where the Democrats get weak. And you got to stop this, Democrats. You got to stop acting like whiny little bitches and blame. Oh, it goes right back to the GOP attack and going back to this. I kind of have to agree with some of the Republican lawmakers who are saying, look, we denounced the attack, including former Vice President Mike Pence, that this man should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. Why can't we just go there? Why does it have to be this political bickering that, you see, what MAGA people are and they're white supremacists and they're attacking our people? This
I'll tell you
where,
why. That's easy to explain.
This is where.
Because the Democrats have no real substantive policies. They are the worst for the country. That's why we're in this energy crisis. We're in the food crisis. They have done everything bass backwards. That's why. And they have no, I mean, look at inflation. The country is going to hell in a handbasket, all under the auspices and leadership of the Democrats. That's right. And we need a change of pace.
Well, I can debate you,
but that's why they criticize other people. What do they say? When you have the facts, when you have the facts, you pound the facts. When you don't have the facts, you just pound on the table.
And now, okay, good saying. I'll give it to you. Here's regular news, and then we're going to hear the spin on Fox News. This is regarding the Nancy Pelosi. She politically addresses the attack on her husband. This is U.S. news, according to U.S. news, and then we're going to hear the spins. Here we go.
Addressed the attack on her husband for the first time. In a letter to her colleagues in Congress this morning, Pelosi says her husband's condition is improving, but the attack Friday morning left her family heartbroken and traumatized. The speaker said she was grateful for the quick police and medical response to a 911 call from her husband, who she called Pop. She wrote that, "A violent man broke into our family home, demanded to confront me, and brutally attacked my husband, Paul. Our children, our grandchildren, and I are heartbroken and traumatized by the life-threatening attack on our pop." San Francisco police arrested 42-year-old David DePape. He now faces charges, including attempted murder. Investigators say he hit the 82-year-old Pelosi in the head with a hammer as police arrived and began trying to gain control of the scene. Pelosi underwent surgery to repair a skull fracture and other injuries. Nancy Pelosi's statement went on to say, "The outpouring of prayers and warm wishes from so many in the Congress is a comfort to our family and is helping Paul make progress with his recovery." Two sources have told NBC News the intruder was searching for the speaker, who was in Washington, D.C. at the time of the attack.
Okay. That's news. I like that.
Hey, Brian, I just want to share this. I'm getting some breakfast, by the way.
Okay.
A brunch, I should say. I'm getting used to the time change. But look here,
okay.
Brian.
Time change. When
the Democrats, are the leaders. I had to move away from you or near you. I didn't want to be within 2,000 miles of you.
How did I get into this story? Why can't you stick to what we're talking about with Nancy thing? You were
minimally.
You.
Anyway, what I'm saying is this. Is that the Democrats are the proponents.
Oh, I get it. Time change. So
hold on.
No, stop.
2,000
miles away. You're leaving little clues. Listen, you're leaving clues.
No, time zones. No, look here, Brian. The Democrats are the proponents of this revolving force.
2,000 miles away from me. That means you're in the Midwest. So where are you?
Hold on. I guarantee you that this guy has a record. And the Democrats are responsible for letting these people out on the street.
Stop. Stop it.
And so I think it's good when occasionally they get some of their own medicine.
Listen,
I'm not
you're
wishing
writing,
anyone
you're writing
ill.
A different story. You have no idea where this guy is from. You don't know his background. And his background,
you, I would
background
almost...
his, he has no criminal arrest. His background leads to MAGA, to Trump supporters. So if you want to go there, and I don't want to go there, I'm thinking, just like what the news article said, this was a deranged guy who broke into the house. I am not going to put it to any kind of political parties or a political agenda. I'm not going to fall into that wormhole.
Ryan, let me say this. In general, in general, the Democrats are responsible for releasing criminals on the populace.
I do agree with you. I'm not saying
it's absolute.
I don't know
but
about
I would
this
almost,
guy.
Look, people who commit crimes, it's not anything new to them, okay? It's something that they do as a habit of life. It's
listen
their conversation in old Elizabethan English. This is their conversation, their manner of life.
Okay, listen to me. There's a little clues in that story. A criminal is of sane mind. He does not want to get caught. He is not going to sit in the house when the police come in and sit down and go, oh, I'm just waiting for Nancy. There's little clues about how this guy thinks and who he is. So I don't – and the and if you look at the story, the Democrats are saying he was radicalized by the MAGA party, which is wrong. We're going to hear what Fox says. So sometimes things are just what they are. This is a deranged
Ryan,
guy.
Ryan, no, there's no such thing as a perfect crime. If you look at
we're
all
not
the
talking
people
to
in prison today,
this guy did not act normal when the cops come. When I see a cop and I haven't done anything, I'm running. And I haven't done anything. What I'm saying is you broke into a person's house, you're sitting on a couch, and you're waiting, and the cops are asking you, what are you here for? You're saying, I'm waiting for Nancy. And you have a hammer in your hand. You're Michael Myers sitting there waiting for tea. And the cops
drugs. That bespeaks of drugs at
see,
minimum.
Again, you're writing your own story. He doesn't have to have drugs. Maybe he's insane mind. This is what scares people. The narrative that there has to be something wrong with this guy keeps us safe. That we can't think that that any minute now that we can go over the edge at any point. That's what scares America. That's what scares the human being, that we can do the same thing. Something could set us off to go to the other side and harm someone. But we don't have to have
right,
any criminal history.
And that's something,
history.
Usually it's an inducement. It's usually drugs, some
not
sort of drugs.
Not necessarily,
but generally, yes. Not necessarily.
You believe that.
Not as an absolute. I'm not speaking in absolute terms.
You don't believe that same people can go insane. Without drugs.
I'm saying most people who do this sort of thing, there is some affiliation with drugs, marijuana, alcohol,
other types
of drugs.
I just disagree with you. This is not normal behavior.
You're speaking from a drug point of view.
Okay, I hear you. Here's my opinion. I think that you can have an overload of a particular situation that causes you to react to something, whether it's a cult, whether it's this, and you're inundated with these news stories or whoever you're with and say, Nancy, without taking any kind of drug whatsoever, that you're just so inundated and you're focused on the election is coming and you're getting these news stories every hour and everything is just overload and you feel like you have to do something. Maybe you're doing it for America. I don't believe thousands of people who raided the Congress a year ago, all of them were drinking and drunks and on drugs.
It wasn't thousands, and there wasn't a single weapon used. So that was not...
They had weapons, my friend. One woman
they
got shot in the
weapons.
Head. What?
Huh?
They had weapons. They had weapons in the trees, and the guys were in trees with weapons. They had weapons.
Someone was shot in the head.
Yes, well, that woman
they
who tried to break
in.
They
were shot by an officer.
Yeah, you're damn right. You should have shot her. You should have shot her twice. What I am trying to say to you.
You're avoiding
what I'm saying. Those people who stormed the Capitol. Are you saying that a lot of them were on substances? That made them react that way?
No, but I'm saying that was blown way out of proportion.
Oh,
first of all,
oh,
Trump
okay.
told those
so you don't
people
think
to go
a single
down there
person
and protest
act,
peacefully.
So you don't think a single person can act upon something by themselves?
He told them to protest peacefully. That's number one. So whatever they did, the few of them that were there, the majority of the people that were there were not involved in that. And it wasn't a revolution or an overthrow because none of them had weapons.
A certain amount of people, and there was a lot of them. Are you saying your theory is for a person to act
But wait
like
a minute,
that,
some of the guards were inviting them in. And Trump, several days before, had attempted to get the National Guard out there.
You are avoiding what I'm saying. You're saying that a deranged person who acts deranged are on some kind of substance. That's what you...
No. Melissa. I'm not saying in every situation, Brian.
Okay. I just want to make it clear. You're misrepresenting what I'm saying.
But I'm saying usually when people do something so abnormal, so out of the ordinary, which breaking into someone's house, which is what this guy did, in San Francisco, that's out of the ordinary. And I look for motivators. And I'm saying it was more likely some sort of drugs.
That's your assumption. I'm saying to you that the scary part is that we are living in a very versatile, I hope I'm saying it right, society. We're over the edge. I mean, everybody's at their point right now. Everybody, and I have to blame the CNNs, the Fox Newses, the social media, why we're on edge like this. And people's nerves, and especially with the pandemic, people's nerves are just fried. They're tired. They're overwhelmed. And I'm thinking a lot of them will have weird behavior.
That's true, to a certain extent.
But we're sitting on a power keg here, and it's not going to take much of anybody. California with the road rage, you just flip somebody off, and then the next thing you know, somebody's pulling a gun. It's just, and I can't just blame that.
What do we have now? Less than 15 days worth of diesel? And people don't realize how important diesel is. Some people think, well, I don't drive a diesel vehicle. Yeah, but everything else runs on diesel. All the delivery trucks, the major truck, those big trucks, those 18-wheelers that you see, diesel. Most of the trains, diesel.
Right? And the pressure.
And the
heating oil.
Diesel is also used for heating oil. It's also used for jet fuel. That's a form of diesel.
I agree. But what I'm trying to say is when they end this article – and they're trying to political, I'm not blaming social media because there are morons on social media. Free speech is free speech, even if it's stupid speech. I think, in my own opinion, it's the media. The media have picked a side.
What do you expect the media to do?
To do a news story with just the facts without connecting everything to a social political agenda, and that's what it's become. I don't expect when I watch CBS News that they're going to say, well, you know, since January 16th, and they used the word Nancy come out and play, that's salacious news, right? Necessary. Shut up. Just tell the facts of the story. You don't have to go back to this has nothing to do with January 6th. That has nothing to do with MAGA people, Trump people, but you want to tie it in because it brings in ears and it brings in eyes that you have agenda. And it gets me sick when I think about it, both sides. It ends the story this way. It goes into the January 6th, and others call out Nancy. Some Republican lawmakers have denounced the attack, including former Vice President Mike Pence, who said this man should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, which I do agree. That makes sense to me. This is why the Democrats are going to fail. This weaponizing a political agenda towards the other party, it doesn't work anymore. It angers people, and it scares people. It fears people. If the Republicans take over, the end of the world is going to happen. They're going to, no women are going to get abortion everywhere. And back alley abortions are coming, and the immigrants are going to be shot on sight crossing the river. The Republicans take this fear has to stop, and I have to admit that the Democrats are causing this fear, this personal attack, the boogeyman, where things are just, sometimes things are just what they are. You got a deranged person who broke into a house. I don't know what caused this. You don't know what caused this. And then we're going to get some, and we have another segment. I hope we can do it. There's narcissistic psychotherapist. Some therapist can say who never seen the person, well, this behavior is abnormal, and I think it could be amount of child abuse and mother not a single parent mother. Studies have shown that single parent mother and the kids grow up to be murderers and rapists. It's like, shut the hell up. We're inundated with this fear mongering, and we got to stop this just to accuse the other people. And I do agree. You know, this is one subject that me and Mr. Solution really agree on. Now, we're going to go to, as Melissa requested, she's my co-host for today, Fox News.
Amen.
This is the you son of a bitch. I'll kick your ass. Where did you move to? 2,000 miles away. You had to be moved to the Midwest. Where are you, in Kansas? Louisiana.
I said within, sir. Within.
Okay. Well,
I
within
2,000.
Oh, you're in North. Well, you're not in Northern California the way you talk about.
I'm
Northern
telling
California.
You.
You're in Oregon, you bastard.
I wouldn't tell anybody. No, he said there was a time difference.
There's a time difference in Oregon. There's a time difference.
It's the
in
same
Oregon.
Pacific.
Is it?
It's the same.
Is Oregon the same Pacific?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's why you're my co-host. What do you think, Melissa? Where do you think he is? He said within 2,000 miles.
You know what? I don't even care. But I know that he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
Well, I'm going to tell you where I am. I'm right here, damn it.
Exactly.
Oh, never, never, man.
I don't ask people stuff like that.
I'm right here.
I want to know when I buy the zip ties and the guns where I'm going.
Exactly.
See, that's what I
want to
Google. Exactly. But I'm thinking. And see, what I would have to do, not that your zip ties would make any difference, but I don't want to have to do what I would have to do.
What, scream like a little girl?
You think?
Back to the story. Here's the Fox News. Here's their take on it.
Thank God.
Paul Pelosi is going to make a recovery, and that is good news. Everybody can agree upon that. Throughout the day, we've all been tracking this story, and it seems like hour by hour, there is new information coming out, a lot of it very confusing. Lara, I want to go to you quickly first. You know, in Christina's report, she mentioned that this suspect has ties to writing about QAnon and COVID conspiracies, but when he lived in Berkeley, he also has ties to an address there that had slogans of a completely different kind.
Well, that's right, and I think anyone trying to connect this guy in any way to a political party, to any other person, you can't do that. You know, we don't have a motive from police yet. We have very little information. So many questions at this point. I think the only thing we do know is that this guy was obviously very troubled, mentally unstable in some way, as we heard from his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend. And that's really all we know. But you're right, Anita. People are trying to cherry pick these certain things that he posted online and say, well, this connects him to somehow Republicans or conservatives. He lived in a house that apparently had slogans that a lot of people would associate with the Democrat Party or with liberals in some way. So you cannot at any point so far connect this guy in any way to a political party, and I think it's very reckless to do so.
Right. I think you're talking about Black Lives Matter slogans, LGBT pride,
right,
those sorts of things. So, again, you can't put this guy in a box at this point. Back to the facts of the case. Again, drip, drip, drip has been coming out all day, providing more questions than answers. David, I want to go to you on this. Consider that this is one of the richest, most powerful couples on the planet.
Right.
Okay? And so where was the security alarm? Where was any security in place? I want to go show you something from the LA Times right now, talking about how the rear door, that's how the assailant got in. He got in through a rear door. Sorry, I can't
see that quote at the moment here. Here we go. It's up now. The quote says, when police arrived and knocked on the front door, Scott said, someone inside opened the door. The officers saw Paul Pelosi and DePepe, each with one hand on a single hammer. He said Scott confirmed that DePepe had forced entry into a rear door of the Pelosi home. And this Scott we're referring to is the San Francisco police chief.
Right.
So the suspect accessed the rear door of the house, and there's no security. Where are the cameras? And also, what about the broken glass? What was that about? And when police came to the door, someone else opened the door. Who opened the door?
So,
what are you hearing?
You know what? Look for what's missing and what doesn't add up. Remember when we were taught who, what, why, when, where, and
yeah.
how? And then when you've eliminated all that is possible, whatever remains, however improbable, that might be the truth. If we did a wide shot on the house, there are high-resolution cameras on every corner of that house. That's easy to see. The glass appears to be broken outward. That's another question that needs to be answered. Police officers typically have their body cameras on, especially when entering, and especially when entering a house like this. Where's the body cam video? Where's the security video? What type of security system? Who opened the door is someone that investigators need to talk to. And for the San Francisco Police Department and now the Capitol Hill Police and others that are involved at the federal level, these are answers that demand these are things that demand transparency in the reporting, because again, an assault on potentially on a member of Congress's property, on her husband, and all of this, it doesn't add up.
Yeah.
And to Lara's point, trying to assign this to one or the other, anyone who does that is not a journalist or a good pundit.
Yeah, I think the point here is that there are so many questions.
Show me the video.
Right.
Show me the audio. By the way, can I just throw this in there? The audio where it's, where's Nancy? If there was a body cam when the police came in, that audio would exist.
Yeah, good point. Okay. Despite all these questions, the White House is really rushing to try to connect all of this to January 6th. Let's listen to the spokesperson.
The thing that is probably the most haunting about when we hear the reports of this assailant, of the attacker that we were speaking of, is that he was yelling out the things that we heard during January 6th, which is, where is Nancy? And, you know, again, we need to end this type of rhetoric. It needs to stop, and it is incredibly, incredibly dangerous.
Over the past 6 months, we have been investigating as well as exposing the truth behind all of these food processing plants that have been catching on fire and burning to the ground, the Dutch farmers in the Netherlands protesting against their government, how the people in Sri Lanka nearly starved to death because of a ban on synthetic fertilizers, the push towards having people eat food made out of bugs, and of course, how the price of food on our supermarket store shelves have been going up by double digits. And you know what? With all these problems, and with even our own politicians here in America using words like food shortages to describe what's potentially on the horizon, well, it might not be a stretch to assume that trouble is looming in the near future. And so the time to prepare is now. Click on that button below this video and claim your free 70-page Food Crisis Special Edition magazine that's filled with content that you absolutely need to get a handle on what's happening as well as to prepare for the future. This magazine quite literally covers almost everything, such as how Agenda 2030, being pushed by the United Nations, is likely behind a lot of the global regulatory attacks on farmers, how the Chinese Communist Party is involved in all this, as well as concrete tips and tricks on how to prep for any possible disaster, what food items you absolutely must be saving, how to properly store them, how to start a garden at home, and so on. There's a ton of great information.
There you go.
So click on that button below this video.
Especially if you want to start a garden.
Wait,
it just
that bothersome. They're planting ideas with their shit.
Yeah.
This could have been staged.
Oh, here we go.
They just... Okay.
Yeah, I hear it. No, keep talking, Melissa. Keep talking.
They're planting... Mr. Solution, can't you see what that cast did, what the newscast did?
I heard some of it. What did it do in your observation?
Well, in my mind, no wonder people like Stanley have gone absolutely bananas, because this is what the rhetoric is that they're passing out. I don't know what happened.
Right.
And I want to know, but I don't want to hear that crap. They were speculating. There's, you know, what about cameras? What about this? What about... They were already putting doubt out there that it even happened.
Now, you know what? Those are, by the way, I guess I understand some of where you're coming from, Melissa. But at the same time, as a prevailing truth, we don't trust the police anymore, hence the body cam. We want to see, and we have the ability. Go ahead.
I agree.
We have the ability to see, and we want to see. So that is germane to any police involvement, is where is the footage? That is very, very important, and it's in context. We want to see what the unbiased, as far as we can tell, what the unbiased observer, i.e. the body cam, reveal. And just by the way, I'm impressed with Brian's knowledge of geography and time zones. That must be the fault of the public school system.
you little shithead. Let me tell you something. I will find you, no matter where you
Oregon,
are.
Oregon, wait a minute. I just want to say this because it was so funny. I cracked up laughing. And Melissa, I would tell Melissa if she wanted to know, but that's not the point. Point is, Melissa said he must be in Oregon. And Melissa says, same time zone. And I think she lives on the other side of the continent. So anyway, but go ahead. I laughed.
You need my public school.
You know,
I graduated with honor.
You know what I mean? You gotta love him for it. And it doesn't. I think that Brian gets so ahead of himself sometimes.
I do. Sometimes I have to wait for myself to arrive.
Exactly. You're a good spokesman. Aren't you a good – I see that, by the way, Brian. So when you say that to me, I actually picture that. So go on.
I do. I think that's what it is. He gets ahead of himself. And he has us to say, boop. Just like
well,
you.
Well, I think he made a good selection in you. In fact, all of his – is the people who – barely or rarely listen. I think I was listening to the lady Laverne, and
yeah.
Brian, you asked her would she vote for you, and her answer, I can't get it exact, but it was not that guy that I hear
vague.
On the radio.
She was kind of vague.
I thought that was hilarious.
She was vague.
She comes out with some zingers, I'll tell you. She gave me one the other day that will probably stick with me for the rest of my life.
Oh, okay. Well, but she was serious when she said.
And that's what it is.
Well,
it's
the thing about
it,
and let me correct you. I have a lot of listeners and podcasts, and I can send them to you. So people love
me. No, please don't.
Oh, yes. You're one of them. You're one of the listeners. What does it make you?
I don't listen in podcasts, though. I stopped doing that. I used to, but I stopped.
Oh, you stopped doing that. Let's move on.
Stop doing it. I admit it.
You stopped doing
it. I just want to, I don't know if I said this, but,
yeah.
And I love these guys, but they've gotten really crazy. Stanley, especially,
yeah.
And Mr. Sarge, who I really like, have lost their noodles. Literally, they're on the floor over this election crap.
Well, when you're inundated,
bad. It's their behavior. They've gone off the rails, screaming, yelling.
And that's my point with this guy. I'm saying it's not necessarily that this guy was on drugs or this guy was on some kind of substance. Sometimes people can just go off the edge. They're inundated
and
with this crap.
They're living proof. They're living proof.
Yeah. I mean.
My God.
And see,
Mr.
that's Stewart, the horror.
You've known Stanley for a long time, right? Or known of Stanley being on shows, right?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
You've known of Stanley being around for quite a while, right? You know his.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
I see a huge change in him with this. Just screaming and yelling, and he's so angry, and I feel bad
well,
for him.
Well, some people have the tendency to get overwrought. But, Brian, the way I would address you is this.
What?
Yes.
Go back to
I
me.
Would say yes.
We're
to
talking about Stanley.
I agree with her. I just said, yeah. I concur
how many
with
people
with,
like are like him right now. And then they and I'm not saying Stanley or Sarge could take it to an extreme.
Well, be careful there now. And this is
why?
What I'm saying with respect to Brian.
Mm.
Brian, you have to look at duration. Duration is very important here.
Mm.
And people yelling and screaming here on the phone, this is safe. This is basically safe. Now, will they take it a step further like that guy? That guy went way beyond what 99.99%
sure.
of the population
I
would
agree.
Do.
But that's not the point. The point is...
That is the point.
No, the point what I'm trying to
that
make
is... the point.
Is can, the point that I'm trying to make is can a rational human being who knows from right for wrong can go to the other side in a split second? Can they
yes,
do that? Can they
but,
make
but
that
it's,
decision?
It's the extent, Brian. You have to differentiate here, or I like to use the term bifurcate. Yes, but now you've got to say to what extent will they carry it?
Well, see,
I mean, there are a lot of
that,
steps in between
okay.
what 99.999% of the people would do and what that guy actually did.
Okay, I understand. I understand festering. I understand building up. I understand all those things. But what I'm trying to say is that we try to put people in a category when somebody does something like this. Quickly, we want to say mental illness. And what that is to do is make sure we don't panic and say, oh God, thank God it was just mentally ill. I'm not mentally ill, so that's not going to happen to me and the people that I hang around with are not. We use these words as safeguards that it cannot possibly happen to us, so therefore there's no panic and we're safe. And the reality is that your best friend, your wife, your husband could snap in a minute and all of a sudden he never hit you before, that he's flying in rage. And then you're gonna, and then you go back to him, and then you're gonna say, "Well, he normally doesn't drink, and he drank that night. He was out with the boys, and he has a lot of." We kind of make excuses because we're not really saying that a human being can, and whoever you are, even a child, can get enough tension, enough pressure that can go on the other side in a split minute. And we don't want to believe that because it scares us to death. We don't want to believe that ourselves that we can lose control. We can lose control to beat our kids. That, you know, not just a spanking, but we went a little bit further this time, and we hurt our child by disciplining them. And we don't want to, we always want to believe that we have some kind of self-control, and reality is that maybe we don't. And that's what scares
well, most
society.
Of the time we do. But I think we're headed for, from what all the reports that I read, and maybe I read too many, we're headed for really hard times. I mean, we're in times now, and it's worldwide to a large extent. I mean,
yeah.
You have people in Europe who are cutting wood benches in order to warm themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they did do something stupid going against Russia, and Russia was their major natural gas supplier. But even in this country, we are about, from all the indicators, to experience terrible times. People are going to be laid off. A lot of businesses are going out of business. So, Brian, I hear what you're saying, and I think the climate is ripe for
well,
that
I
kind
agree.
Of...
I agree with
yeah.
you. But I think I said this before. Somebody from 10 years from now is going to examine our brain. Like we do with the CT test, you know, with the concussion test and everything, they're going to examine our
mm-hmm.
brain, and they're going to find
mm-hmm.
out that something happened with the pandemic and how we changed our way of our thinking and how we traumatized ourselves on not touching anybody, not being more antisocial, which we are a social, we're meant to be a social human being. But doing these changes and locking ourselves up with people and can't go to a funeral and all – they're going to find out that we have just our brain just somehow I don't even know what the, I don't want to use the word erupted, but something has happened to us. And they're going to find out.
It's going to be metamorphosis.
No, I'm not joking. I'm very serious. If you're joking, if you're serious, I agree with you.
Younger people, even worse than the older people who are somewhat civilized, somewhat.
The kids went through
it's going
it.
To be worse
my.
For the younger people, not
yes,
seeing a
I,
person's face.
Yes,
it's traumatizing
yes.
to a young person because that's
yeah, or
the way
even,
they orient themselves.
Right. Don't touch grandma because you can make her sick and die. You got a cough. Oh, mom, the kid got a cough. Mommy, take me out of school. The kid has a cough. It's called, the fear that we, for 2 years, the fear
right.
that we put in people, just touching people, being near people,
right.
has really done something to us. And causing, and I do believe part of this anger, it's because of that.
And financial fragility.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Watch.
Yes. Yes.
They say that 2/3 of the American populace are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, hopefully, I haven't run into anyone on these conference calls that is a
right.
well, anyone who has admitted to it. Let's put it that
right.
way.
Right.
But can you imagine 2/3 of people right now are financially fragile?
Yes.
And virtually no one can retire. The new retirement is work until you die with
or
the shift from defined
the,
benefit
working
plans
in their
70s. To the 401k,
right.
and I believe
You're
it's
right.
40 something B.
Right.
So, you know, times may get real harsh. They say reminiscent of the 30s, 29 was the stock market crash, right? They
mm-hmm.
say we may be revisiting that real soon.
It's even more. I mean, when you take away your social behavior, and really, and they're saying that the SARS flu coming down is going to affect these kids, is going to be really damaging. And I took my flu shot for the first time. I think it's going to hit us hard because our immune systems are not built up like they used to be. The way we build up our immune system is, yes, we catch a cold from somebody. Yes, we play in the dirt. Yes, we eat it or whatever. We build our immune. We're supposed to do that, to build our immune system to be healthy. But when you lock yourself away and you don't touch anybody or you're fist bumping people, your immune system is not as strong as they used to. And you cannot escape from the flu. I'm sorry. I'll go to the next story. You cannot escape from the flu. It's in the air. If you take your baby shopping to the grocery store, whatever, Kmart, whatever, Walmart, guess what? They're susceptible to the virus that is floating in the air. You can't escape it. But if they're
when I go grocery shopping,
yes,
I see so little children in the stores. So there are very little amounts of
really?
Kids in stores.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a difference. And that might be
mm-hmm.
because of that. But you know what I'm saying. I'm just saying – you know, it's going to hit these kids. What place that we were just talking about that the hospital is already filling up with children with flu? I forgot
it's
what it is.
It's
sometimes,
a respiratory virus.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing with the flu and the so-called COVID is we at least had a remedy, a treatment, although it
right.
wasn't oftentimes very effective, but at least the placebo was there. And so... Go ahead.
Well, you go with the positive thinking. Okay, I'm protecting. I had the placebo. I build my immune. I understand. I don't want to go to that wormhole. I'm just saying that somebody's going to study one of our brains 5 years from now and found out what the ramification was of this of how we, and I'm not blaming any party, and how we freaked out, shut down businesses. Mom-and-pop stores can't even survive. People are now doing interviews in their homes. They're afraid to leave their homes. Kids can't even play with other kids. Somebody has a cough in a store, and all of a sudden you're calling 911 thinking this guy has COVID, and everybody moves to the back.
I did that before COVID, but, yeah, go ahead. Look, I'm
you
an admitted germaphobe. There's no doubt about that.
If you ever had,
as
you
extreme
had
as I could be, but I'm pretty damn extreme. But look here, Brian, if you want to test your immune system, just simply use a bathroom hand dryer. You know that plume that can branch out at least 6 meters? Someone flushes a lidless toilet. The dryers picked that up in concentrated form.
I know.
And
it shoots up from the bottom of the
– really
every time you flush a toilet, it shoots up. I know. I know all the –
every time you flush the toilet, even when the macro has been evacuated, when you flush it again, there's still a plume there, and it branches out. Now, the thing about it is the hand dryer concentrates it, and they use Petri dishes to verify this. And these are the ones without a HEPA filter, by the way. They don't have HEPA filtration.
But this is what we need to build our immune system, Mr. Solution.
No, we don't need that.
But, you know,
we don't
we
need
can go
that
far.
Much.
Remember,
let's put
remember,
it that
remember,
way.
You know,
Melissa,
we need
remember,
good food, supplements, exercise, fresh air. Those are the things that we need.
But if you're afraid of what's floating around in the air and some of the food are full of chemicals, I don't know. Organic doesn't mean organic anymore.
I can't worry about all that.
But no, but it's true.
And you know what? That's a good point. That's not a big issue, Brian, because in every market, virtually, there are healthy choices if people will make them. There are healthy choices, and
people that don't want to. They don't want to do it.
Yeah, there's some nasty people out there. There are some.
They don't
want to
eat good food.
I was in a store the other day. This guy covered one nostril and blew a snot bubble on the floor.
Brian, careful. Well, and some people bring their damn dogs into the market. Not a lot. But a significant number. And what I usually do is I travel on those people.
It happens.
I go straight to the manager and give the manager a mouthful.
It happened. And actually, that was a criminal act. If somebody were to call the police.
But what I also do is everything, so I don't buy a lot. I put some bleach, and I have a nice brand of soap, and I wash everything down. I don't put anything in my refrigerator unless it's sanitized. So
oh, my God.
Damn it.
You are a germaphobe to the second degree.
Well,
you're a germaphobe
not totally.
Squared.
I use that sort of as a joke. But
you're a germaphobe squared. You need to have some dirt. Well, don't you even eat pussy? Okay, listen. Do you eat pussy?
Come on,
Brian. You're disgusting.
What? That is not disgusting.
Where
that's
did you go from? We were having a rather sane, civil conversation.
He's sexually triggered. Don't sexually trigger him.
He's sexually triggered. That's my co-host.
Don't do it.
Wait a minute. Who are you speaking of, Melissa?
I'm speaking of Brian. Don't sexually trigger him.
I mean, he's
don't
obsessed.
Don't sexually trigger me, mister.
And he's the one that talks about he gets all the sex. Yeah, he's the one that's obsessed with it. What's up there, Brian?
I'm saying that's one of my favorite food groups.
I remember reading the article about Michael Douglas. I will say this from a hygienic standpoint.
Yes,
someone performs fellatio or cunnilingus. Hold on, Brian. Those are the technical terms, fellatio and cunnilingus. And I hope you don't perform fellatio, Brian. But look
that's an Italian guy who was at the party.
What a person can do, because the bacteria can be easily dispatched with an antiseptic mouthwash.
Okay, whatever.
Otherwise, it lodges in the throat, in the mucosal membrane, and it causes problems.
I have never gargled after having cunnilingus.
I'm just pointing out to the sane and sensible.
Just a minute, baby.
Not those who are over the edge, but that's a good way to avoid throat cancer complications.
Okay. Thank you, doctor. Yes, Melissa.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm a doctor of democracy.
How did you go here?
Huh?
You got sexually
Brian always goes off the beaten path.
You triggered Brian. You triggered him, you bastard.
You triggered him.
I just said when I bring things home, I know a lot of people are not as sanitary as they could be. Okay,
Mr. Solution.
Hold on. I don't want to talk about sex. All right, now
are you an asexual
person? That's almost the limit of what your little brain can bear. Sex and only.
It's part of life.
Simply
it's part
said,
of life.
I feel more comfortable when I wash everything down. I rinse it,
right.
And then I wash it with bleach. It only takes a short
period. You're going to bleach her down? Well, come on, honey.
It only takes a short period of time, and I feel more comfortable. And I'm going
to
do more
cooking. I'm going
to give
you a massage with bleach. You'll be fine.
I'm going to do more cooking in-house, too. Go ahead, Brian,
okay,
with your nonsense.
Okay, Melissa, go ahead. What were you saying?
If that makes him feel comfortable, yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a massage. How do you like this? How do you like this oil? It smells like bleach. Bleach you down.
If Brian has been in a grocery store, I'm going to call up over 2,000 miles away and say, fumigate it.
You're a serial killer. All right, come on. Here.
It's fumigation.
You haven't been caught yet. All right, going back to, we got, you are so silly. You are so silly. We only got 30 minutes. I promise this.
And it's Halloween, too. Just my time of the year.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Can a therapy, are you a narcissistic? Are you seeing a narcissistic therapist? And these are the signs to look for. You know, it says, can therapy be harmful to your health? Another reason therapy can be harmful is that the therapist is actually a psychotic.
Yep,
actually, they
yep,
have a
yep.
word. They call it a psychotoxic. I never heard of that before, psychotoxic. This is where a therapist's behavior directly harms a client's mental health. And it's devastating when that happens. It's an article. It was devastating what happens when therapy makes things worse. Therapists are meant to help people. They change their lives, but those who behave badly may end up doing more harm than good. In the oath, it says, do no harm. It tells a story about Courtney. Always a Courtney, right? Courtney thought it was strange when her therapist asked her to follow him on Instagram. She had begun seeing Michael, a psychoanalyst who has written books and appeared on television to treat her fear of flying in 2018. Both of their names and those of all the patients in this article has been changed. After a few sessions, he suggested the pair connect on Instagram, where he posted everything from mindfulness trips to topless gym selfies. Topless gym selfies? Help me out. I'm going to stop there. If a guy has no shirt on and he's working out, where did we get topless gym selfies? I have had guys, I have done that. I have worked out. When you're working out and you're in that zone and you're in among these other people who care about their bodies, bodybuilders and everything, you're taking pictures. You are taking selfies. And you're not. And very rarely you'll go to a gym where, you know, if a guy's really built and he spent all these years on his body, yes, he's going to take off his shirt and he's going to lift some weights. So where do we get to topless? And you can tell this is a woman writing this. I'm sorry. But I have never heard of topless gym selfies.
This is another one of
the
crappy articles that you picked up.
Well, it's this is according to Health and Well-Being. It's a health magazine.
You know, when you read something like that right away,
You
got
a
problem, Houston. You read something like that, he had topless selfies of himself.
Yeah, gym selfies.
You got a problem right away.
Right.
A nut wrote this.
Yeah.
It's like I told you the other day when you played that crappy song. Don't ever play that again.
I won't. I won't. I won't. God, what a review.
You know why I got after you about that. But anyway.
I know you did. As well as you should. But Melissa, did we come to a point in our society that if a man takes off his shirt or walks on the beach or whatever, that it's a topless, he's topless?
We are there. Yeah.
We are there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it goes on and says, as she didn't use the app much, Courtney shrugged off her concerns and continued therapy, discussing her childhood abuse, depression, anxiety, and sex life. Then around 5 months later, she began seeing him. Michael asked if she had been offended by a message he had sent. Courtney said, what message? She hasn't seen one. So Michael demanded that she check her Instagram inbox. demanded, by the way. See, here's the problem already. A therapist does not have a personal relationship with his clients. That's where it gets a little shady, and you should know better. You know what I mean? If I'm seeing a therapist and he says, right, if I'm seeing a therapist and he says, hey, I got two tickets to a Rams game. Would you like to see? Would you like to go, Brian? I'm saying you're out of bounds here. I'm sorry. You're out of bounds. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to seek help.
Yeah.
So already there's a problem here. There's a problem.
You want to feel comfortable with somebody, right? You know, have a good rapport, but you don't want – I know, it's crazy, though. We're telling them every deep, dark thing.
Yes, everything.
Right? It's like,
I wouldn't even tell my wife everything. I don't want to tell her about when I was a kid and I put crazy glue up my butt and my butt cheek got glued together. I mean, I'm look like an idiot.
Mom.
Thank you.
Did you really do that?
No.
Did you really do that?
No, I did not. But the fact that you asked me that. The fact that you said, did you?
You said it. You always tell me the truth, right?
I know. I'm just saying something bizarre, and I'll go on.
I ate cat food when I was 3, and I liked it. That's a lie.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Or I got spanked when I was 9, and it kind of felt good that time. I got wet. I mean, things like that. You know what I'm saying? Here we go. So Michael called himself a...
triggered.
I'm a gun. I'm ready to go off, baby. Michael called himself a psychoanalyst and had training in hypnotherapy, but Courtney didn't scrutinize his credentials when she found him by searching online. I just assumed that all therapists had more or less the same capabilities. She says, now, in fact, psychotherapists and psychoanalyst therapists, hypnotherapists, and counselors are all unprotected through unprotected terms. This is in the UK, where there is no statutory regulation of therapists. You can legally call yourself any of these titles without any training in the UK. I should do some deep dive to find out here. Just because you're licensed, are you regulated by the medical association? That's a good question, isn't it? Courtney terminated her session.
I think we have a little more.
I think there's a little bit more accountability here. But anyway, Courtney terminated her sessions with Michael shortly afterwards, and last autumn self-published a book. Oh, here we go. Under her synonym, about her experiences where therapy goes wrong, a personal examination of an unregulated industry. In it, she discusses a number of ways in which therapists can be harmful, from inappropriate comments and gaslighting to drinking with clients and telling them they are beyond help. If you have a drunken therapist taking you to the bar and telling you, I know everything about you.
You can have problems.
You're beyond help. I can't help you. I have another one. What are you drinking? Come on. Sometimes you got to use your own common sense. You got to use your own common sense. They're human beings.
Yeah.
Therapists are not extraterrestrials that know all and can know. You just got – and I think that's what's wrong with society, what we've done, Melissa. We lost that. We lost accountability of oneself. We put – our trust in people we have not checked out, people with this, just because of this, we hear this, and it's wrong to question people. Are we in a society where it's wrong to question you? And the guy goes, hello, Melissa, I'm an accountant. And, and you look at the guy, and he looks homeless. It's like, God, you must be a bad accountant. Are you questioning me? Oh, no, I'm sure you're a great – automatically you're going to be defensive and try to make the guy feel good. This is where we are.
But what I would be like, okay, cool.
Okay.
Whatever. Right.
Call the police, Jill. Call the police. Before publishing her book, Courtney complained to the association that Michael was registered with. The complaint was closed by the committee due to insubstantial evidence, and Courtney later pursued legal actions against him, and the case is ongoing. What legal action do you have? You went to the therapist. He gave you his advice. He took you out for a couple of drinks. He showed you some selfie pictures. What criminal thing did he break? If you already said that it's not regulated.
I know of a person who is going to a psychiatrist.
Right.
Excuse me. Which is a medical doctor, right?
Right.
And they began having sex.
Yeah.
And the woman was married. And let me tell you, they sued the fuck out of this guy.
Good.
He got a huge amount of money.
Wow.
So, you can't do that. In this country, you can't.
I got to do a deep dive in it. You know, when I went to a psychiatrist, he says, you know what, you got, I swear, this is all true. He says, you lived the at this point, it was interesting, the reason I went. He goes, it's very interesting. He goes, I want to hypnotize you. I go, what? Now, right away, I don't want nobody hypnotizing me and controlling my mind. You know, I don't know what shit they're going to put in my mind. I'm one of these paranoid sons of bitches. What are you going to do? You know, maybe there's a buzzword that I'm going to be barking like a chicken every time I stop at a light, at a traffic light, and people think I'm nuts. So he tried this a couple of times on me. He goes, and he says, I'm not successful in hypnotizing you. I go, why? He goes, your mind is too strong. I go, you got that right, Skippy. You're not going to hypnotize me and give me little thoughts of your own little thoughts. And I don't understand why anybody would allow that to happen. That you can,
I would do
they
it.
Can put,
they
you
wanna,
would
they
do it?
Like bring out, yeah, like to bring
wow.
out fears and things. Yeah. They're just tapping
wow.
into your subconscious.
Oh, no. Well, you're braver than me. I couldn't let anybody do that to me and open up my subconscious and that I don't want anybody to know. There's a reason why I buried it, why I want to dig it up. Get out of here.
I wonder if Mr. Solution is listening to this.
Yeah, look here. Don't you have a Catholic background, Melissa?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Okay, well, they strongly advise against that. Are you aware of that?
Well, and they also want you to do the missionary position, too. So.
Yeah, but that's a separate issue. Wait.
Sexually triggered. Oh, my
God. Trigger.
I'm turning into him.
Yeah.
Now, that's
playing
serious.
You're playing with my emotions.
That is serious. Oh, but they
yeah.
– let me say this. Now, I listen to Catholic radio every day, virtually, every day. Now, they are pagan, there's no doubt about it, with the Pope and this thing about the perpetual virginity of Mary. Why are they focused on that? They don't talk about the – that's sexist. They don't talk about the virginity, perpetual virginity of a man. I'm offended by that. But the point is, and they do worship the Virgin Mary. She's co-mediatrix and not dominatrix, but they elevate her to the status of God, right?
The Holy Mother.
But they do a lot of things wrong, but embedded in the Catholic religion, there is truth. It's in there. It's pretty deep, but it's in there. And so I'm just saying that some of the things they teach are very encouraging. I don't believe this Fatima and all this other stuff. You know, that's not actual. I listen to Drew Mariani, Patrick Madrid, and Patrick Madrid is an apologist for the Catholic, faith. I believe they're sincere, but about a lot of things. And I listen to the priests, too. Priests come on this station. But some of the things, my point is, some of the things that they teach are solid. They're good. It's good. But now one has to be able to sift through it. That's just like with a therapist. I would say no more than 6 months with the therapy, a year maximum. But the individual, just like with a doctor, you in the mirror, are responsible for your health. You are responsible for you when you're not a child. So all these other people are just on your team to assist you. You're the quarterback. So you really have to be in control ultimately. You have to say when you're well, when the therapy is over. Now, can you... Can you collaborate with the therapist, with the professional? Absolutely. But you have to take charge. You have to be in command at some point, at some point. The same thing with my doctor. Just understand the limits to anybody's input to you, that you are the ultimate one that takes that information and properly distributes it. It's just guidance. What everybody else does for you, me, or whomever, it's just guidance. So I think
agree.
It should be taken in that particular perspective.
You know,
it's just guidance.
Mr. Solution, I do agree with you 100%. And if people go into that, into therapy,
Brian,
knowing that...
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But I'll give you kudos, because if people go into therapy, you know, as seeking guidance or maybe, you know, affirmation.
Yeah.
And understanding that it's one person's opinion, and maybe I don't know if we're going to go far as a medical get into a medical. A lot of people think therapists are like medical doctors, and it's a medical thing, and they have to understand it. But a lot of people will go to a psychologist or a counselor or support group guy. You know, you got to go into it. But when you do feel there's a reason. You feel uncomfortable. And if you don't even know what that is, you need to back up a little bit, take a breath, and find out why you feel uncomfortable, because there's a reason it's there. And we tend to ignore it and give our power to another person because maybe they're a higher learner
or
a position, and that's where we get into trouble. But thank you. Thank you. And here's another case here. Sometimes a therapist can misjudge your problems, and it could be just as harmful as a therapist who mean harm. You know, here's another little story. You know, an analyst of talking therapies find many have a positive outcome, but some are very vulnerable, and they could be left feeling more depressed. A little quick story. Counseling and other psychological therapies can do more harm than good. They are of poor quality and of the wrong type, according to a major new analyst of their outcome. Talking therapies are usually helpful to people who are in distress, but in a minority of cases where it goes wrong, it can leave a vulnerable person more depressed than when they first sought help for. Most people are helped by therapy, but anything that has real effectiveness, I'm sorry, most people are helped by therapy, but anything that has real effectiveness that has transformative power to change your life has also got the ability to make things worse. And it could be misapplied or it's the wrong treatment or it's not done correctly. Very little research has been done on the negative impact of psychological therapies. And it's one of those wink-wink hospital kind of cold blue kind of thing with all therapists. It's like, you know, can you imagine a therapist on a break? You got five therapists in a room and on a break, and they're talking about their clients, or they go home and talk about their clients to their friend, and they go out to a bar and say, hey, I got this client. We think that they're not human and that everything that we say to them, that they're not discussing it. We'll never see – we don't travel in their circle. But we got to be mindful of a lot of things. Cognitive behavior therapy is recommended. There's different kind of therapies on my time. Recommended in preference to pills for mild to moderate depression and anxiety. Data routinely collected by therapists as well as a result of clinical trials. They include point scores of the levels of depression before and after courses of treatment. If you have, bottom line, I'm not going to read this. If you have someone who's going through therapy and they've been going to therapy for a while, they may be going to counseling. Maybe you have drug addiction and you have to see a counselor as part of one of your treatments and talk to them and blah, blah, blah. And that person, your loved one comes home and they're more depressed than they were, or they're worried about what they said, or maybe the anxiety is so great that you came from your therapist that you need to score. I have a friend named Laverne. And we talked a little bit. Melissa and Laverne and I talk, and we talk about Mr. Solution. We need a laugh now and then. But other than talking about Mr. Solution, I had a conversation with Laverne once, and we're talking about woke and that some people need to wake up. And then and she had a great argument about it. And my end result was maybe some people should not wake up. Maybe they're part of the machine, and they're doing well being part of the machine. They're doing well to have people think there's reason why there's leaders and followers. Maybe there are followers, and they need to follow someone. Maybe that's their guideline to life. You know, that's why we idolize so important, because they don't trust themselves. So I'm saying maybe
hey,
some
Brian,
people should not.
Hey, Brian, be careful. You know, one of the reasons that I don't watch football is that I think when they go in the huddle, they're talking about me.
Oh, my.
I will find you. I don't care where you are. You cannot move far enough away from me. They're talking about you. But it is true. People don't want to be accountable, and they're scared to be accountable because they don't trust themselves. So they will look towards others to lead them. Some people will go as far as saying, I'm not doing anything. The Lord will put me into the direction where I need to go. The Lord will take care of my problems. There are some people that go as far as that extent. The Lord is not taking care of your problems. The Lord sent you here so you can go through the life lessons before you go to another place. I'm not a clergy, but I'm thinking. He's not there. You're not going to say there, hey, Lord, guess what? There's a test. I'm not going to study. The Lord will see me through this, and I will pass the test. And they'll find out that the Lord wasn't listening. The Lord was betting on the Saints game. But I'm just trying to say is that we don't hold – it's scary to hold ourselves accountable, each person, because we don't trust ourselves. A lot of people don't trust themselves. They don't trust themselves for a decision. They made bad decisions, and they got traumatized from that decision, and they're scared to make another decision that may be a life-changing decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we seek other things. That's why we seek cults, and we seek therapists, and we seek doctors, and we seek this. We seek somebody to lead our lives for us because we are afraid to make our own decision because we're going to fail, and that failure is traumatizing, too traumatizing. So that brings us to this. There's a woman. Do I have enough time? 16 minutes. I don't have enough time, but I'll just capitalize on it. This woman is getting on my nerves. Her name is Dr. Wendy Walsh. You can Google her. She's on the TV. I mean, she's on the radio, and she'll talk about relationships. And if you listen to her, she sounds like a know-it-all bitch. So
I know Wendy. I know Wendy. So go ahead. But I have
like,
a couple of comments.
You should hate Wendy Walsh if you know Wendy.
I don't like her. Wendy is problematic. First of all, Wendy has herpes. She said it. And,
she has what?
That greatly diminishes her value.
Did you say that she has herpes?
Especially to a man, because unless he has herpes. So that's
how do you know she has? How do you know? Wait a minute. Wait, you can't just make a statement and move on. How do you know that she has herpes?
She said she had it.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Well,
listen
okay.
with both ears, Brian.
I'll try.
Yeah, and she has herpes. But see, she has this exalted view of herself, and she talks a lot of crap. She is very denigrating toward men. She thinks men should literally be doormats and carrier tits for women. And she'll say this, for example, she'll talk biology. But I can speak biology, too. She says the egg, the sperm chases the egg, meaning that men also have bigger brains. So that means that's biology, too. So that would mean that men are smarter than women. If we go strictly biologically, I'm not saying that we should, but see, she's this sexist. She is a sexist, and she is about women getting an unfair advantage. And she talks about this boyfriend. Wendy comes across, I'm going to use Webster's Dictionary, of a bitch, a domineering, spiteful, and malicious woman. It's not
I kind of agree with you, but I have to move on. What I hear what you're saying, but I did Google. I don't have it. But by the way, I want to finish it. The last one. Fox News is saying that Biden is to blame for conspiracy terrorist meeting with Nancy Pelosi's husband. So Fox News is blaming Biden for Pelosi's husband, for Pelosi's husband being beaten up. And the reason they blame him or they blame Biden is, and it goes with, and I think Mr. Solutions can agree with it, but I only got 2 minutes on this story. I just want to finish it. Is they're saying you're letting these people out of jail. The Democrats are letting these people out of jail, which is true. So now you got all these convicts and these crazy people out of jail. And believe me, there's a lot of crazy, insane people, and they're not telling you about this. I don't want to go down the wormhole. It's another show. But when you hear that they're releasing people out of jail, you have to also remember they're releasing criminals who are mentally insane out of jail too. They're not just – when we hear, well, they're just releasing marijuana people. No, in California, they're releasing misdemeanors and felons out of jail and also criminally insane. So when I say to you that the homeless people that you used to hear about when we were kids, hey, brother, can you spare a dime? These are no longer the same homeless people that we knew when we were kids. These people, a lot of these homeless people are predators. They carry weapons. They're on not being medicated enough. They're dangerous people. They're actually dangerous people. These, as Mr. Solution said, they're homeless squared. So what I'm trying to say, well, you know, it's true. And so now I'm talking about this political bullshit. But, okay, well, Biden's the blame of this, by her husband, Vendez. The other news is saying, well, the MAGA people blame. We have to use our senses and say, shut the fuck up. Sometimes it is what it is. And I'm tired of this bullshit. All right, Wendy Walsh. So I looked at her, and her bio is that she does have her license. Damn it, I have it here. But there was something in her. But she doesn't practice. She can't practice. It's something. It was very interesting that she has her license, but she can't practice.
She's a psychologist at Channel Island. That's someplace in California.
Wendy Walsh. But it also said that most of her advice is just entertainment only. They specified that.
Well, that's what most of your celebrity types are. She was a former model. She's from Canada, by the way. I think
she is from Canada. She's very pretty. She's very pretty.
Well, not really. No. Her expiration date has long passed.
She can.
Wait a minute. Women do have an expiration date on their attractiveness.
They do. It's usually 35.
I mean, even when you hear women talk about their biological clock ticking.
Right.
That,
when their body changes.
Expiration.
Yeah, I know. But it sounds so
Dean, wait a minute. Let me clarify
something.
Sounds so crude. Because someone misconstrued what I said. And it wasn't you, Brian. It was your brother. I don't mean that they are absolutely worthless. I just simply mean for certain purposes, for attractiveness, for getting relationships. See, a woman is at her highest value in her teens and up until about maybe 25. And after that, it's all downhill. But what women often think is their value goes up with age. That's not true. In other words, men age like wine, women age like milk, right?
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. In the long run, women, and as far as health issues is concerned, in the long run, women are more healthier than men, and they end up having to take care of their man in the long run. Because men, whatever the reason is, that they work so hard and then their health fails and that the women are the caretaker, whatever it is, but this is the known fact.
Well, wait a minute. No, you're wrong again.
I got to go to this story. I want you to hear Wendy.
Well, it's
yes.
Men that's the cause of women being healthy because they create the environment.
Well, whatever the case, whatever the
healthy.
Case is, that you're normally
no, that's
you get to
case.
A,
I'm giving you the case.
Okay. But normally at a certain age, women will usually be the caretaker of their husband. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's true sometimes. But remember, men make that possible. And also, men sacrifice themselves so that women can do that. So it's not just like that happens in a vacuum.
It doesn't matter why. It usually
so the why is always important, Brian. You're being a mangina.
You know,
you're being a mangina.
You know what? I have to move on. I'm going to go down to this wormhole with you. I'm just
it's
saying.
It's not a wormhole, but go
it
on.
It is
though.
A wormhole.
It's not a wormhole.
It's
a fact.
It's not going to end up good. Okay, listen. So anyway, Dr. Wendy Walsh was an expert on love. She's an expert on love, everybody. When anybody calls himself an expert on love, you're in trouble. She's an expert on love. She hosts a podcast, Mating Matters, an author of 3 books on relationships, a psychology professor, and she hosts a Dr. Wendy Walsh show on the radio, iHeartRadio. She was named Person of the Year in 2017 by Time Magazine as a silence breaker who helped pave the way for the #MeToo movement. There you go. So you're knowing something about her. So she's an expert on, but then it says only entertainment purposes only. But I read it, I had it, I saved it. She's licensed, but she can't use her license. It was something going on. I saved it on my phone, and I freaking don't have it. We're going to listen to a little bit of Wendy. Let's see, what is it? How much time I got? 8 minutes, not enough. But we'll just listen to a little bit of Wendy, and you decide. This is how to be a high-valued woman, how to support a partner who has survived trauma, things never to say to your partner, and can we talk about Kaye? This is what this show is about. I don't know how long I can stand. Listen. Yeah, again, she's an expert on love, and I was trying to find another one about how to deal with your man, but my time is running out. But here's a sample of Dr. Wendy Walsh. I think I got her. I think I got it, and sometimes it doesn't work, and it doesn't seem like it's working now. Huh.
No.
I know. It was supposed to be timed.
How do you spell her last name?
Wendy Walsh, Walsh.
Okay. I have iHeartRadio.
Yeah, she's interesting. She is interesting. Mark, that's played. That's why I won't play. Damn it. Let me try it this way.
If you get the app, she comes on Sundays, I believe.
Yes.
But you can look her up.
She has episodes. She has episodes that you can hear, past episodes.
What you're saying, Brian, is that she doesn't practice and have private practice, but she probably does better on the radio, and she does teach courses at Channel Island. I think it's a college in California.
I feel. Always start out with I feel.
Yeah. Well, I got it here. Here's a little bit of her.
So I go, then can I say, I feel you're grading on a new storytelling podcast.
Here we go. Just a little bit.
This is not another talk show covering today's news. We are all about telling stories. Stories Hollywood doesn't want you to hear. Stories the media mocks. Stories about everyday Americans that the elites ignore. You could think of Red Pilled America as audio documentaries.
This is a commercial. She'll be on right after.
The truth.
Every week, Red Pilled America hopes to inform you on some specific topic, but our ultimate goal is to entertain you. Each episode will pose a simple question. Can the Me Too movement really clean up Hollywood? Why is Los Angeles having a homeless surge? Is fake news really a new phenomenon? Then we'll look for the answer in the stories of the dismissed men and women all over our great country.
Visit the iHeartRadio app right now to listen to Red Pilled America. That's the iHeartRadio app, and search for Red Pilled America.
It's the Hard Knock Life for us.
One of the most popular musicals of all time is back. See Annie, Broadway's favorite orphan, live on stage in an all-new production.
I'm always looking.
Isn't it time we...
Annie is back to spread hope for all... Annie is back to spread hope for all the hard knocks, life, road.
Third hour of the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. If you're just tuning in, are we a new phenomenon? Then we'll look.
Annie is back to spread hope for all the hard knocks life throws your way. So clear away those sorrows and get your tickets to Annie today.
At the Dolby Theater, November 29th through December 18th, visit BroadwayInHollywood.com.
KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We are into the third hour of the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. If you're just tuning in, and you don't know me, I have a PhD in clinical psychology. I'm a psychology professor at California State University, Channel Islands. I have written 3 books on relationships. My dissertation was on attachment. I'm a little bit obsessed with the science of love and attachment. I'm not a therapist, though, and that's why I depend often on the knowledge of licensed therapists when I present the data and, of course, the scientists out there. I'm always looking for new and interesting ways for us to have healthier relationships. And one thing I know is language is everything.
We're just talking about that.
You know, if
that.
You're in an argument with somebody and it's and you say any sentence that starts with the word you should or you did, then you're already going to lose.
They get defensive.
They get defensive.
Yeah.
If you can stay on your own feelings, I know it sounds weird, I feel. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a problem with a teacher. And my mom said, well, you should go see the teacher and don't say you're grading unfair or whatever it was. I don't know what it was I was upset about. I was 14, 15. You should say I feel. Always start out with I feel. So I go, well, then can I say I feel you're grading unfair? She said, no. You have to then have a feeling word that follows it. I feel ignored.
I'm being graded unfairly.
I feel, yeah, I feel unappreciated in my work. Mm-hmm. I feel that my work is not, you know, it's whatever. So anyway, in our relationships, we need to constantly go to our gut and say to ourselves, what am I feeling? And then talk to our partner by using the correct language. You know, when you come home from work late, I feel so excited for you to come home.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to have dinner that's hot. I really enjoy serving food hot. And then when you show up late without letting me know you're going to be late, I feel disappointed. See, I am excited to see you. I love to have dinner that's hot, and I get disappointed, right? Doesn't that sound better? Like, you're always late. Like, what is it? You could call, you know, right? And that's what we do. We do this shorthand with the people we love.
And no one wants to hear that.
Nobody wants to hear that. So, again, I was reading the work of, this one was Dr. Gail Gross. We should try to get her on the show. I like her.
Okay.
She's a nationally recognized family, child development, and human behavior expert, author, and educator. She does a lot of media. She's a good talker. And she had a great article online called 6 Things to Never Ever Say to Your Partner. And it made so much sense. She basically says language can bruise tender feelings. And when you bruise people's feelings, you make it really hard to build those bridges back to connection. So, number one, she says, never, ever, ever threaten divorce. Here's
what
why.
What if you want a divorce?
I want a divorce.
Well, what if your actions are going to lead to divorce if you don't change them?
No, because then what you're doing is triggering their abandonment anxiety. Instead of, you know, saying, this is hard for me to live with, I'm having a hard time living with this behavior. But if you say, if you keep this up, we're going to head to divorce court, that's a threat. And that ignites somebody's anxious attachment style because, you know, at the very,
Okay, we can't go any further because, again, apparently we went too far with the other talk. That was a little bit of Wendy Walsh. Did you guys hear her?
I kind of like her so far.
Did you
so
hear
far.
Close? Did I have the phone close
yeah.
enough? Okay.
I heard it, yeah.
See, that's Dr. Wendy Walsh. We will continue her tomorrow on the same topic because I'm curious about the 6 things you say. You know what I mean? Now you
I find it interesting so far.
Did you really? She talks about a lot of stuff. Mr. Solution called her a bitch and a Herbie bitch.
Wait a minute. The thing is, she may have changed a little bit. She may have modified her position. And I'm always open to that. But what she just said is fine. I don't have a problem with that. I don't believe language is everything. I believe it's a large part, of course. But she basically believes the man should use his superior power to support the woman. That's what she – even if the woman is undeserving, okay, that's where I have a real problem with her. And the over-evaluating of women to control men, that's what she wants.
Well, we're going to get
I'm
more into
what you mean
by undeserving.
Well, what I mean is, okay, but take for example, in the she calls it the dating and mating. She thinks everything should really be the responsibility of the man, and that's wrong.
That's not
because
true.
Women
that's
have
not
equal
true.
Rights. Women have to contribute, I would say, affirmatively and substantively to the relationship, and she's not for that. You notice the example that she used to use. I don't know if she uses that anymore. Well, sperm chases egg. That's the way she would always pretty much end the superiority of women getting
yes.
what they wanted from men, but not the reciprocal.
Now, you
yeah,
got to remember,
I
Melissa. Melissa, you got to remember, and Mr. Solution, that's good. Now, that's his opinion on a take of her. That's not your
opinion.
Well,
that's what she said. No, that's what she said.
I understand, but there has to be context to, we can't just go
headline. Well, it deals with dating. I gave you the context.
I understand. I don't want to pollute Melissa's thoughts on Dr. Wendy Walsh before she gets to get an accurate.
Well, it's not polluting. She said she had herpes, right? Herpes devalues a person. Like, I don't care how pretty a woman was. I don't even care how open she was to dating.
Wait a
minute. And she probably
would
be
if
she had herpes.
How can you
herpes.
Say that? Do you know what herpes is?
Let me finish, and I'll tell
herpes
you how
is
I'm
a
saying.
Virus.
I'm telling you why I'm saying it.
Yeah,
yes,
because
it is
your doctor, your teacher, your whatever, chances are they may
okay,
have
Brian,
a cold sore is
connected
to herpes. But go ahead. But a cold sore is connected
you.
To herpes.
God. Yeah. Okay, what I'm saying is, see, women are already too haughty. Most women, they overestimate their worth. Okay, and they do have a sexual marketplace value. Now, a woman with herpes, can you imagine that coming on and demanding? I mean, give me a friggin' break.
I don't
Your
understand.
Choices are severely limited. They're limited anyway. And you should listen. She talks about her boyfriend a lot.
Sometimes yes, she does.
It's
yes,
nauseating. She talks about her boyfriend. Her
okay.
boyfriend. Now, here she
What's
is.
What's wrong with
a,
that? You keep the boyfriend.
A
50-year-old
woman. She should be in a more stable relationship.
You know,
herself.
Wait, I
want to
hold you. Let me hold
She's
you. Let me hold you right there. Wait a minute.
Guru.
Wait. Stop. I got to make a comment. Hold. Will you hold on?
Okay. Go ahead. Make a nonsense comment.
It makes sense to everybody else, but to you, you're in the back of the bus.
Well, let's hear. Let's hear.
I was out with a woman who was. She was from Romania. And we were going out a year at this time. And she didn't like me to introduce her as my girlfriend. And I was puzzled by this. And I said, you know, because somebody asked us what our situation was. And I said, what's wrong? She says, girlfriend, really? I go, yeah. She goes, it sounds so childlike. It sounds so infantile. Girlfriend,
right?
Like a kid will say, what a kid would say to somebody. So when you said that, just I'm gonna make a point on that. And I thought about it, and it's like, well, you're grown. Let's say you're 60 years old, and you're dating somebody for a while, and somebody goes, "Well, who's this? Oh, this is my girlfriend." That's, I mean, how does that sound? I'm just asking. How does it sound like a childish thing? Or even when you call it my pop, when Nancy says, you know, why would it be necessary that you put that little cute phrase pop, P-O-P, in a news story? It's my husband, the children's father,
yeah, now that's
grandfather.
A cultural thing. That's a little bit of a different context.
They heard our pop. No, that's
Those
not
two
meant
are
for
not the
cult.
Same.
That's not a culture. No. That was meant to more of a personal thing to draw the personal heartstring from you.
Mary.
Their pop. It was
they are married.
Necessary.
Okay, that's a different context means a lot.
Okay,
Brian.
Well,
follow
we'll go to
the
Melissa.
Context.
We'll go to Melissa. She's a Melissa. Does that phrase would that
yes.
phrase bother you if you were single?
No.
And you were, it would not bother you. It doesn't sound infantile. Boyfriend, girlfriend at a certain age.
No.
Okay.
Well, okay. She keeps shifting boyfriends. See, first of all, it's not fair to Melissa. I don't think so, because
what?
Melissa doesn't listen to Linda. Wendy Walsh.
I
don't think she had ever heard of her. I listen to Wendy Walsh all the time. Wendy Walsh.
Well, if you
listen
to her all the time,
the
she must be good. If you listen to her all the time, you are giving her a good review. If you didn't like her, you wouldn't listen to her.
I already know that. I like some of the aspects of the subject that
Damn,
she deals
why do I
with.
To,
I don't
why
particularly
I have to beat you in the
like
back room
her.
With a sock with a soap in it to give you the truth. Well, yeah, I do like it. Damn you, Brian. I hate you.
Said I like
yes,
the subject,
do.
Brian. Don't mix my words. The thing is that she changes boyfriends, but the last boyfriend she had, I think that she abused him.
Okay.
Because of her damn demands. Now, I didn't
right.
know she had herpes at the time. And she
Why
would talk about sex
you?
And how
if
she
person,
would resolve sex
had an
STD, or reserve
wait,
sex.
Wait,
hold
you're
on.
Move it on.
Oh,
you're
burying
your
lead. You don't let
here.
Me finish.
But it's
and you're ignorant of the basic situation. You don't
not,
know about
but
her
it
either.
Tells me a little bit about you mentally when you say that a person has an STD or herpes, that somehow they're less valued as a person and that they're dirty.
Ooh,
it tells
you
me,
dumbass. Excuse me.
Well, listen, there
I
you
apologize,
go.
Brian.
You say you're sorry. You say you're upsetting Melissa.
I want the same excitement, just minus the D-A. Brian, that's stupid. I got to
go
say,
ahead.
What you just said is utterly stupid.
Melissa,
it's man to man.
You're my
looking you, although I know you can't look a person in the eye, I'm looking you in your pupil and telling you that
my penis.
Is a dumbass statement.
Keep your eyes off my penis. Looking at me in my penis. Eyes up here, mister. My eyes are up here.
I said your pupil. Oh, man.
Melissa, go ahead.
So she has herpes. Does that make her less of a person? Is that what you think? I don't.
Right.
Oh, no. Not less than a. Had you finished?
No, yeah, I'm finished, yeah.
Not less than a person, but that lowers her value on the sexual market.
As far
in other words, if there were five women that a guy had to choose from that looked decent. And
no,
in all other areas,
on.
They were acceptable to him. And they say, okay, but number three has herpes. And the guy doesn't have herpes. Genital herpes.
You don't know
and
how
and
he
so,
contracted.
Hold on, let me finish.
Minute,
you asked me a question, Brian. I'm answering
no,
it.
No, but you're
right,
out of context here.
She had sex with a person that had unprotected sex with a person who had herpes.
Or maybe he was out with a boyfriend and
person.
He cheated on her and he got herpes and she trusted her boyfriend. He lied to her. There's a lot of factors.
The existing person, i.e. man, or woman, but I'm just talking about heterosexual relationships, so I'll just keep it to that. The existing man doesn't deserve to get involved in that. And I would, if you reverse it, let's reverse it. Say there were five gentlemen. And the woman didn't have herpes. And it was found out that all of them were acceptable to her, all the gentlemen, except one had herpes, number three. Number three has herpes. He's out, just like she would be out. Her value as a
would.
Mate.
Just because she broke up with him doesn't mean that herpes left with him.
To a mate that doesn't have herpes
Stop.
Is zero.
You're being ridiculous. You're being
Brian,
ridiculous.
You're being an idiot. You know no, that you would not get involved with the woman that had herpes.
You're being childlike and calling me names. I'm telling you, you're being ridiculous because this is
but I'm
she didn't go out with a
and
guy.
You're a liar. I'm
she
calling
didn't go
you
out,
a liar.
I'm, what did I lie about? What did I lie
hey,
about?
I'll tell you if you stay. If
Good.
You hold
I'm
your
listening.
Time
what
a moment.
What did I lie about?
If there's a
what
woman that you know has herpes, genital herpes,
right?
You are not going to get involved with her sexually.
No, I'm not. I'm not, but if the woman did not tell...
Okay, that's the point.
No, that's not
the
question.
Blood pressure
no,
feels.
It's
God
not black
it.
And white. Life is not black and white like that, Mr. Solution. I could be going out
wait
with
a
woman.
All
with
of
my
life
girl.
Isn't. I'm
hey,
not
I listen to you. You
got to
give me.
I'm just talking
you got to give
that.
Me. You got to give me 10. You got to give me 10 seconds to respond to that. I am saying that there's people in relationships, and some people cheat. Now, you've been in a relationship for 6 years, and all of a sudden you had a great relationship. This one had a falling out and cheated, and you came home, and you make love like you normally, and you find out you have herpes. This is not, she is not going to go to bed with a guy knowing that he has herpes. I'm sure it was upon her, and it's not her fault. And if you look at the stats, Google, Mr. Solution, how many people in our society, you're going to be surprised, I think it's probably 1 out of 9, have some kind of contact with a herpes virus, whether it's a cold sore, it's a cousin
okay,
of the herpes virus.
Not,
shingles.
Okay,
shingles.
It's hard
did
for
you
to
know
to,
that?
I'm,
wait a minute.
It's hard
stop.
For you to
you know, wait,
I'm
wait,
talking
stop.
About
Mr.
genital
Solution.
Herpes.
Okay, genital
I'm talking
herpes.
About genital
okay,
herpes.
Let's talk about genital herpes. What I'm trying
that's
to say
that's all
is
I'm talking
people,
about at this particular juncture. Genital
right.
herpes.
Yes.
Not the
and
not the
you don't know how
fever
she got a contact.
Go ahead.
But she's honorable. But at least she's honorable and talks about that she does have it. She's not hiding it. She's not shameful.
And fantastic. I think that's great. But let's go back to the situation. You keep moving the damn goalpost. And I can
all
understand
right.
how you can't solve a problem because you don't know how to deal with the problem in isolation.
I solved
I'm
you,
talking
and
about
you're
someone that you're
what
just
are you talking
needing,
about?
Not...
I am logical. You're illogical.
Oh, no,
you're
no.
Ridiculous.
You don't understand. Okay, you just said, Brian, that
yeah.
if you were first meeting a person and they
yes.
were a potential for a date and you
yes.
knew they had genital herpes,
if I
that
knew,
they would
yes.
be off the table, as it
yes.
were.
Yes.
So
be
that's
no
all
date at
I'm
all.
Saying. That's it.
No,
keep
but
it in
you,
context.
But I agree with
don't,
you.
Hold on. Don't
but you're assuming,
it
you're, then you're
and,
telling
and
me
make
you're
it a
assuming that she knew.
And generalize it. I'm talking
you
about a very
are assuming that she knew
situation.
The person had herpes and still laid with him. That's your innuendo in this thing. Because you're blaming her, saying, I don't believe
say
her.
That
she's
again,
losing
because
credibility
because
she has herpes. That's what you're saying.
No,
you're
what
saying
am I saying? Say it again. So
you're
I'll
saying
hear.
She lacks credibility and she lacks...
No,
no,
he didn't say that, no. That she was
he,
off the market sexually for men.
No, no, no. She was saying
have
that
herpes.
He doesn't trust her advice because it is the
no,
innuendo of her decision
that.
Making.
No,
say that?
I don't think that. No. Am
I don't know. That's how
incorrect.
That's what I got. You
Brian, I'm
funny.
A mediator, right? One of my hats is that of a mediator. So I have to deal with things as they are presented.
Okay, what is your problem that – let's spell it out so we don't get it confused. What
wait
is your
minute,
problem?
Am I correct with that? Wait a minute, I got overlooked.
Yeah,
am
well,
I
let's,
correct
let's spell it out, Mr. Solution.
Is that not – you did not mean that as a human being or that her credibility was shot – or her ability to give advice because she had herpes.
No,
I didn't say that.
Right.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, okay.
Right, and I didn't say that she is less of a person. I simply said in the area of dating for men who don't have herpes, right, that her sexual market value is very, very minuscule. In other words, they don't want her. She's not a viable partner.
I will agree with you there.
Now don't
that you
have
explain yourself,
that
and Melissa helped
I don't
explain
give a damn
yourself.
How she got it. I don't care how she came by it. The point is, and we would treat a man the same way. We wouldn't
oh,
care
yeah.
how a man got the disease if it was a woman that was disease-free, right? And she was considering him, everybody would tell her no.
Yes.
See, that's
I agree
why
with
I don't
that.
Deal.
Yeah.
See, that's, you don't, it goes into another area. I happen to agree with you. And Melissa, you made it clear. Very good, Melissa. Excellent. She's your translator. She is your official translator,
no,
Mr. Solution.
Believe it or not, I'm actually a really good, I'm a good listener and I have good comprehension.
Yes, you do.
And, Brian, I suggested you go and get a lobotomy.
I had one, sir. I had every year I get one to protect myself. You know why I get a lobotomy? Because people like you break my brain and make my brain
bleed.
No,
bleed. No.
So
if
I have
to,
every
Brian,
year I have to get it sucked.
Me,
I got
to
get that blood sucked. You break my
hold
you
on,
break an aneurysm each time you come on. I hear
me, you would
I hear
be happy,
my skull
healthier
pop.
And wealthier.
All get three. Out of here. You make my skull pop. There it goes again. Oh, my God, the lights just
went. Well, that's because you have all that trash in there, and I'm helping to excavate.
You're helping to. I want
to
thank my co-host.
I'm helping to excavate garbage.
You're excavate. Yeah, I know what you
excavate.
Yeah, whatever. I got a dictionary, sir. Don't you put those big words on me.
The next thing you should do is use it. But no, Brian, that's very crucial. And sometimes to show a person, a very dense person, a biased, sexist person, the truth, is just reverse it. Just reverse it. Now, it's hard for them to reverse it because they're stuck on what they think you said or what they actually believe you said or whatever.
This
but
is why I'm the number one show in the morning.
You are answering things that I didn't say.
I have to have Melissa, she's your translator, that will explain to me what you mean.
No, if you listen better, that's fine if that's the only way it can get through, and I'm sure that happens a lot to you. But the point is, if you just be more of a listener, you'll get it too.
You know, I haven't insulted you enough. I gave you a pass all day today. You notice that?
Not an insult. Hold on. That's not a legitimate insult. Now, insult you, but I'm not going to do it right now. But that's not an insult. That's
save it
just
for
a
tomorrow.
Fact.
Okay. Listen, I want
to... Brian, are you going to go out and make... Let me tell you this. I was having this argument with a woman, and I pointed out how young men
you have an argument
to
with
work
a
minimum of 60 hours up to 80 hours a week. They're healthy, pay off all their debts, and be financially free. You won't realize how empowering that is. And then this woman came back, kind of like you, and she said, well, money isn't everything. And then she went on to talk about the things that, quote, unquote, were more than money. But guess what? Every one of those things required money.
Mm-hmm.
Every
and
one of
point.
The things that she went
and
on
point.
To. There you go.
I'm looking at the time. We're already in
it's
podcast,
not just
and we're going to go out of podcast
Brian
pretty soon.
The thing is that if a person has more money, they are less of a victim. Can you get that?
Not necessarily true.
Give me an example
there,
where a person
really
has
matter.
A lot of money and they are victims.
There are a lot.
Where they have adequate
really?
Resources. Look, money is nothing but stored labor. That's what money is.
We would have to go into a wormhole about what do you mean by victims, and we would have to go and that's
money
a
is stored,
another
well, someone who complains a lot. That's a victim.
Well, you can go with Musk.
Just define
Elon,
to you what a victim
Elon,
is.
Is it Elon? Is it Elon Musk?
Someone who complains incessantly.
He's a complaining bitch. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. He's a complaining bitch. And he's a billionaire.
Elon Musk.
He's a complaining
bitch. Why did he say that? Elon Musk just bought Twitter, didn't he? To open
and he
it
complained
up and
about
more,
it. And he didn't want to buy it. And then he's going to buy it. And then
what
he whined about.
The guy is very
he whined
successful.
About Twitter lied to him. And then he might buy it. He might this. Then he bought it. And then he's complaining about it. And he's going to get people back. And he's going to kick people off. Hey, stop. I don't
Twitter
want to
did lie about the bot.
He's a mess.
He owns it now, so what's your problem? Why are you bitching?
I'm saying you can't make a blanket statement about people with money or not victims.
I didn't make a blanket.
To do with money.
I said generally.
I never used the word.
I try
more money,
to never
more
use
problem.
The word all. I
more money,
use
more
the
problem.
Exception that
just
proves
a different
the
type
rule.
Of problem.
I talk. Huh?
It's a different type of. Just a different type of problem. More money, more problems.
I talk about the rule. Generally, people who have wealth and resources are not victims.
Right.
They don't see themselves as victims. Why? Because
I
they're movers.
Okay.
Because
I was
they can
they
get done what they want done.
To
rather than complain, they do.
I see. Well, I was told to never talk to strangers, but yet I have a radio show. What happened to me?
Well, you didn't understand that, and you were a little bit stupid in your interpretation of that.
I want to thank my beautiful co-host, Melissa.
Thank
you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. You did really great. You did marvelous.
I don't deny Melissa's beauty, but sometimes I deny your ability to think linearly.
Listen, you, I think literally.
But it's funny, though. I mean, that is part of your shtick.
I mock you for
and,
my fun. I mock you and I bully you for my fun. You are the
you do. You do bully. See, you admit.
I wait till you come in and I eat you up. I put a little biscuit. I slurp you up.
Okay,
you're my
okay.
The George.
But get it about the victim. People who have resources and who have been busy working, number one, they don't have time to complain. And number two, when they complete their work,
they
have the power not to complain. I don't even complain about you.
Yes, you do all the damn time. You do. I open up your mic. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, but I take care of it, don't I? I finish you off in short order.
I don't want to talk to you.
I know. I call the radio show. Hello, you're live. I don't want to talk to you.
What?
I want to thank Mr. Solution.
Will you be on tomorrow? Will you be on tomorrow or no? Okay.
Yeah, he did. Hey, don't make
Give Melissa the keys. We need her to come and open up the house, Brian, whether you are there or not.
You know what?
And pretty soon, Brian, you'll be out of a job.
She will do good. You guys would miss
me. I look forward to that day, by the way.
No, you do not. You would miss me in a minute. You would miss me too much.
Right.
I
do like to watch hog trapping. I love watching hog trapping.
Okay. I want to thank.
When they shoot the hog?
When they shoot the hog?
Let me tell you this. I'm sorry, what?
Is that when they shoot those big hogs?
Well, yeah, they have to dispatch them humanely, by the way. They use subsonic bullets. But the thing is, those hogs cause billions of dollars of crop damage. You can look it up. In Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and sometimes they shoot them from helicopters.
Those are the wild hogs. Those are wild
they
hogs.
They actually have tours. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's right, Brian. Those are wild, feral hogs.
This is a guy, a romantic.
Hold on, Brian.
Girl,
let me just say this.
Douse
they
the girl
destroy
in
crops.
And then go shoot some hogs. Listen.
They spread diseases. They eat. They will. You know, some people think that hogs are strictly herbivores. That's not true. They will eat the small animals or birth animals like deer, and they run deer off. They bully all other animals. Hogs will do that, feral hogs. And they have virtually no natural predators. They don't have any natural predators, so their numbers have just grown out of proportion. So hence trapping and shooting them from aerial, from helicopters, is a way to kind of curb the outbreak. They are an invasive species, by the way.
Yeah, at one time they used to call us those people, too, when they go out for slavery. All right, I don't
come on, that's
any
stupid. You say this, you jackasses who promote that. Let me just say this, and I was talking to some people who really claim to be blacker than you. They would claim there are people who claim to be really black or true black, countermanding the people that you would say are mixed or multiple cultures or whatever. But at any rate, I pointed out the Africans. I use the term all skin folk are not kinfolk. So the Africans were the most racist because they sold their own people. And the majority of the slaves that came from Africa, they went to Brazil.
They didn't sell their people because they were racist.
They sold them because they were racist. And they also captured them. And they also killed them. If they hadn't sold them off, they were going to kill them. And so you just need to read up on history so you'll be aware of it.
you're being
because
ridiculous.
There's no way that a few Europeans could have gone into Africa, the deep, dark reaches of Africa,
they should have captured
those people. That's stupid.
Stop it.
They couldn't have done
it. Stop it. There are some tribes in Africa.
Oh, I have something for everybody to watch.
What?
It's going to freak you out. I found it last night. It's called the Soft White Underbelly. And they go into Appalachia, and they do all this filming of all these inbred families and interviewing.
Ooh.
Hey, that's true with the Amish.
Yes.
I don't know if the Amish does incest or not. I know they sell
them. Oh, yes, they do. Well, yeah. Well, inbreeding. It's not necessarily incest.
I don't know. Do they inbreed the Amish?
Yes,
I know they sell.
Because they're very clannish and cliquish. And they don't really allow for other people, and they have diseases that they catch. See, because what happens is when you have a recessive negative gene, if it's just in one of the parents, it won't necessarily manifest itself. But if it's in both parents, it will manifest itself with devastating consequences to the offspring.
They have this thing that they do a lot. It's called double first cousins. It's really interesting.
Ew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They still practice.
This is in the soft underbelly. I'll pull that up. But I know that happens in Appalachia and some other isolated areas. And that's the bad thing about it. I love the Amish culture for the most part. I learn a lot from it. They're very industrious people. They're beautiful people. They are God-fearing for the most part. But that inbreeding, they don't have a way of addressing that.
On that note, I want to thank
get the hell
for
out
the
of
third
here.
Time,
I'm sick.
My co-host.
Okay. Thank you.
Miss Melissa.
You stink. And Melissa, you're everything the opposite of what Brian is. Everything I call Brian, you're the opposite. And I hate him, by the way.
I want to thank Mr. Solution for coming in the studio.
Maybe until tomorrow. Tomorrow I won't hate him as much.
Okay. I will be on the air tomorrow. I will see you guys tomorrow at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
All right. I'll save the rest of my hate for then.
Thank you.
All right, good.
See you guys later.
I'm filled with hate.
God bless. You guys have a good day. Bye-bye.
Hey, you too. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. I'll give you a call in about 2 minutes. Bye-bye, everybody.